Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
In addition to being the host of this talk radio podcast program, I have many male and female clients who pay me for advice related to their love life and sex life. One of the questions I get asked many times by single heterosexual men is about day game techniques versus night game techniques. You may ask, what do the terms day game and night game even mean? Very simply, if you go out at night and frequent a bar, restaurant, or pay a visit to your local nightclub or dance club in search of romantic and or sexual companionship from a woman, that would be categorized as indulging in night game. On the other hand, if you were to simply go out during the day, you know, kind of out and about during the daytime hours, and you happen to cross paths with a desirable woman while walking down the street and you approached her and initiated a conversation with her, that would be representative of indulging in day game. Some dating coaches, seduction gurus, and pickup artists have built their reputation on how successfully they have approached, conversed with, and attracted and ultimately seduced women under either the day game format, the night game format, or a combination of the two. My guest for the evening considers himself a top-tier advisor on the ins and outs of approaching women during the daytime on the streets of a major city. He has his own set of principles and philosophy that he abides by that have helped him not only experience a high degree of individual success, but has put him in a position to help other single heterosexual men of all ages and racial backgrounds achieve success in their own right. Who is this young brother who has made a name for himself in the attraction and seduction community in, of all places, the largest city in the United States? He goes by the pseudonym Justin Wayne, and tonight, Justin is going to share some of his most valuable secrets with my male listening audience, as young brother Wayne is about to take time out of his schedule in order to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, oh my God, is this Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you,
do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in their race?
You do.
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect the woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo! Mode One! This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode one, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Allen Roger Curry.
Hey yo, sweetie, you looking kind of pretty with a girl like you doing in the corrupt city.
I'm just here trying to have my own way.
Yeah, I think I like how that sounds. What you say we get to know each other better?
That sounds good, but I don't think that I can
action. I don't know, tell me, is it so? Do you get a kick out of telling brothers no?
No, it's not that, and you don't understand. I said I put it, I got a man.
What your man got to do with me?
I told ya.
I'm not trying to hit up, see.
I'm not one of those girls that go rip it around.
I'm not a dub, baby, so don't play me like a clown.
I'll admit, I like how you kick it.
Now you're talking, baby, that's the ticket.
Now don't get excited and chop your own in. I already told ya, I got a man.
What your man got to do with me?
I got a man.
I'm not trying to hit up, see.
I got a man.
What your man got to do with me?
I got a man.
I'm not trying to hit up.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Allen Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Allen Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, June 28th. And a lot of you don't know, technically, even though about 4 weeks ago, I had my celebration of my 5-year anniversary on May 31st, but technically today is actually my 5th year anniversary of Upfront and Straightforward, because as I've explained before, my first show on Blog Talk Radio ever was on May 29th of 2007, but it wasn't initially called Upfront and Straightforward. It was called Balls Out Talk with Mo One. That was the show that started on May 29th. My first episode of Upfront and Straightforward, under the title Upfront and Straightforward, was on June 28th of 2007. My first guest was actually Tim Alexander, the writer and director of the movie Diary of a Tired Black Man. That was my first guest, and that was on June 28th. Of 2007. So today is my official 5-year anniversary of Upfront and Straightforward. Thank you, listeners. Calm down. Shut up. Tonight, as you know, I have a lot of people on my show. I have people who are dating relationship book authors and marriage therapists and experts and anybody basically to do with the dating relationship genre. But also one of the things I'm known for is having fellow dating coaches on my show, seduction gurus, pickup artists. And I will say sometimes the conversations go very, very well, and other times the episodes have gone not so well. I say 3/4 of the time my interviews with other dating coaches and seduction gurus have gone well. I'd say maybe 2 or 3 times, you know, I've clashed with a couple. I think most notably was a guy named Paul Janka. Yeah, if you go back and listen to my Paul Janka interview, we didn't really click. Not on a personal level, but just on a philosophical level, we didn't click. But anyway, I got another young brother who's made a name for himself in the Big Apple, New York City, that I'm going to be chatting it up with, and I can't wait to talk to him about his particular methods and techniques and philosophies and beliefs and attitudes about approaching women and conversing with women and ultimately attracting them and seducing them, and I'll get to him in a moment. Next week, I will have about 2 or 3 guests next week. I'm going to be discussing a documentary film entitled After Porn Ends. After Porn Ends will be my discussion topic next week. It's a movie that basically chronicles different people who worked in the adult film industry as a performer, as a writer, director, producer, etc. And
the film talks about what happens to them when their career has ended or is on the verge of ending. What do porno stars do when their career is over? Do they just, how do they transition back into quote unquote normal life? So that's what I'm going to be discussing next week. Is if anybody's tempted to call in today, do so. I see somebody, Velarco said he's tempted to call in today. Please do so. I want people to call in as the conversation goes on. But yeah, anyway, next week, that will be my discussion. Matter of fact, after tonight, I only have three more episodes of the 2011-2012 season. As you know, every year I go on a hiatus in mid-July, and then I usually come back in mid to late September. So, yeah, the last day, my last episode for this season will be Thursday, July 19th. And I'll be coming back, barring some unexpected circumstance that prevents me from coming back. Assuming I am coming back for my sixth season, it will more likely be Thursday, September 20th will be when I will have my first episode of the 2012-2013 season. And, yeah, so three more episodes after tonight. Now, you know, I got love for all my listeners, but I got particular love for my chat room listeners. That's right. Now, last Thursday, this woman, I know she probably engaged in what I would call some NBA love masturbation. Because she, I just made that up, NBA love masturbation. Because she loves the Miami Heat more than anybody I know. And that's Diva36 Diva, she's a Miami Heat fan, and more, she's been gloating her ass off. She's been talking shit to Laker fans. She's been talking shit to Celtics fans. She's been talking shit to Pacers fans. She's been talking shit to New York Knicks fans, Oklahoma Thunder fans. Anybody who's willing to listen, she can talk shit with the best of them. Believe you me, more than any woman I would say I've met in my life that can talk sports-related trash talk, Diva is that woman. She will talk some major shit to you if you get on her bad side and try to challenge her about her favorite teams. Yeah, she can talk shit with the best of them. But, yeah, congratulations to the Miami Heat. They are the NBA champions. LeBron James gets his first ring. Dwayne Wade gets his second ring. Chris Bosh gets his first ring. And, yeah, I'm a Bulls fan, but I take my hat off to them. They played a good series every, you know. Hey, man, they took it to the Pacers. They took it to the Celtics. They took it to the Thunder. Yep. Who else is in my chat room? I see Aaron 2213 is in my chat room. Aaron 2213 is in my chat room. I see my new main friend Belarco is in my chat room. Wait a minute. Somebody has written me a private message. Let me respond real quick. Okay. I see CCIP Radio. CCIP Radio is in my chat room. I see Metal Haze. Metal Haze is in my chat room. That's right. No Head. That's my main man. That's my unofficial booking agent. Metal Haze is in my chat room. Yeah, I always love to see Metal Haze. I see my guests in my chat room. My guest is in my chat room. I see Miss Sincerity in my chat room. I see NYCD Joe Cool. NYCD Joe Cool. I see Val Macedon. Macedon, I hope I pronounced that right, in my chat room. I see Jay Works in my chat room. I see a number of guests
in my chair. I thought I saw Black Man USA in here earlier. Did he step out? I saw Black Man USA. He's always in my chat room. He must have stepped out. Other shout-outs would be my older brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry, that's right. My younger cousins, J.P. Jones in Chicago, Athabar, maybe we're in New Jersey, Christopher Curry in Detroit, Michigan, Philip Pulliam, and his older brother, Irvin, V. Pulliam, the third, EVP, three, match one in Seattle. That's right, match one in the house. Other shout-outs would be my female supporters in my Facebook female supporter group. That's right, my female supporters on Facebook. I got just under 400 of them on Facebook. I'm always looking to increase that number. So if you're a woman and you're on Facebook and you want to show your support for Alan Roger Curry, join my female supporters group. Like I said, I got just under about 375 to 400. of them, and they lend me support for this show, my books, and every other activity I do, and I appreciate them. The two big news today is the NBA draft. The NBA draft is going on, and two Kentucky players went 1 and 2. They say that's the first time, I think, either ever that this happened or in a long time, one of the two. That's either the first time ever that that's happened or in a long time that two players from the same team went number one and number two. Anthony Davis went number one to the Hornets, and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist went number two to the Charlotte Bobcats, Michael Jordan's team, the Charlotte Bobcats. Yes, so that's number one and number two. And, of course, Diva had to bring up her Ohio State University player, Jared Sullinger. He went to the Boston Celtics. Ooh, Diva, are you still going to root for Jared Sullinger now that he's on the Celtics? Ooh, I don't know. Have you ever rooted for the Celtics? I don't know. That's going to be a challenge for you, Diva. Shoot, that's going to be a challenge for you. See, did I tell you she don't talk shit? She said, no IU players. And we really had nobody come out this year. The one senior we had, he got injured towards the end of the year, so he probably ain't going to get drafted. But next year, the next 2-3 years, IU going to have some boys coming out. We are the preseason number one college team, thank you. Indiana University, baby. See, she bringing out my IU cheerleader, fan, spirit, whatever. Anyway, this story ain't about basketball. Well, speaking of basketball, though, Clyde Drexler was hating on Magic Johnson earlier this week, but now he has apologized. He said his comments were taken out of context, and some comments he didn't make at all. But initially it came out that Clyde Drexler said that Magic Johnson didn't deserve to be on the Dream Team. I was like, damn, that's cold, because I used to like Clyde Drexler, but I was like, man, don't be talking smack about people 20 years later. That's just messed up. You know, if you're going to talk smack about somebody, talk about it in the present moment. Don't be waiting on like 5, 10, 15, 20 years to go back and talk smack about people. That just ain't right. You don't do that shit. You know, if I'm going to talk smack about somebody, I'm going to talk smack about them right now. In the moment, at the moment they piss me off or rub me the wrong way, I ain't gonna be like, yeah, in 1983, you know, that dude Leon, he pissed me off. I mean, you know, that just don't do that shit. Who came in my chat room? I see there he is, Black Man USA. I knew I saw you earlier. What's up, Black Man USA in my chat room, and a number of guests in my chat room. Obamacare was passed. The commerce aspect of it was not the tax was. It was passed. Republicans are pissed right now.
as they should be. And, that was a win for Obama. Go Obama. My show's not political per se, but hey, go Obama. I'm going to take an intermission break, and when I get back, I'm going to introduce my guest, and we're going to get into our discussion. So don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back in a few moments.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So, what can I tell you? I'm excited. I'm standing backstage and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago, and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind-blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there and he'll help people and help him and help him and just keep it. And he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people. And he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
To know what you said to the Japanese girl on roller skates.
I went up to her. I said, "You got a talent for this rollerblading thing." And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, "Yes, I love to rollerblade." I said, "Well, to be quite frank with you, I didn't give a fuck about rollerblading." I said, "Your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex?" And she was like, "Oh my God, I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses?" I was like, "Is that a trick question?"
Please visit www.modeone.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD.
Are you an expert and or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at Blog Talk Radio Advertising at mode1.net. That's MODEONE.net. Don't wait. Do it now.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Well,
Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. I want to make sure that I introduce everybody in the chat room. I think I have. Okay. My guest for the evening was born in Washington, D.C., and was raised in the Caribbean and Houston, in addition to D.C. He attended St. John's University and earned a degree in business management. Over the years, he's been involved in music production. He has a passion for developing his fighting skills, but his main passion is teaching other men how to approach single women with more confidence, more skill, and ultimately get their phone number so that these men can connect with these women. And he's all about specifically helping them get women's phone numbers in a very timely and efficient manner. And ultimately, of course, he wants those men to end up either dating these women or having casual sex with these women. And my guess, he does not care about theories or ideals. He cares about real world results. So, on behalf of the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and Upfront and Straightforward, listeners, give it up for the winner of one of the New York City Pickup Artist Contests in Union Square. Welcome, young brother Justin Wayne.
Oh, man. Hey, what's going
what's
on,
up,
man?
Brother Wayne?
I'm doing good, doing good. Just enjoying Times Square tonight.
Enjoying Times Square tonight. I
yes.
bet you are, man. Yeah, Times Square, man, is a place that has a lot. It's just a lot of energy in that area, man.
Oh, yeah, man. I actually moved over here for the summertime, you know, just to write my book. I'm working on this book called The Domino Effect, which is about the art of stranger approaching and stuff like that. So I just moved over here, and it's beautiful. It's a great spot for the summertime to really just come outdoors, enjoy myself, great energy for right now. So, yeah.
Okay, well, you just provided me with my first question, because when I've Googled you a couple of times, that shows up next to your name, something about the domino effect. And if you could give me a few broad strokes about what that means, what that's all about, the domino, Justin Wayne's domino effect.
All right, cool. Well, so traditionally, the reason why I call it the domino effect is I just have to go back a little bit quickly. When I first started doing the stranger approach phenomenon, I already had some basic success doing social circle type of things, meeting girls through friends and school. So I already had success, relative success, like any other guy, meeting girls in that kind of context. I wasn't great, but I was just okay. So when I started doing the stranger approaching, there was some guys out before me at that time, and they had this big fascination about getting phone numbers and talking to girls for a very long time. And, you know, so I did everything they said. And again, I don't knock these guys, because at that time, you know, the field of pickup is still very young. It's very new. And it still is new. You know, it's no more than 10 years old in terms of people really getting together and adding to this body of work. So, you know, at that time, you know, it was all about being social and getting a phone number. And at that time, that was a big feat for most people. So by the time I reached, I was doing all that stuff for a long time. I was getting a lot of phone numbers, but they weren't translating to anything beyond that. You know, it was the phone number, and most of the time, especially for attractive women, I won't see them again. So I played a very huge and unfair numbers game, which was really highly inefficient for the stranger approach. So the domino effect came in when I decided to figure out a way to minimize this workload and also get the girls. So one thing I noticed about the old methods, like commission methods, was that there was no real clear metric for any type of romantic escalations or, you know, getting to the point. You know, it was all about talking forever. And, you know, there was, yeah, so basically I had to veer away from that and get creative and try to figure something else out that can really optimize stuff. So what I learned how to do in a nutshell is, instead of focusing on the phone number in the first interaction, let's say I've had 15 minutes to talk to a girl, or 10. Instead of focusing for the number, I would focus on getting or establishing a romantic connection. Again, romantic connection with the girls that I'm speaking to. Now, this is, you know, harder said than done sometimes, but that was the only way that I was definitely going to see the girl again. And not only see her again, but the dates would often end in a romantic direction. You know, at least some kind of, you know, kissing, some kind of romantic vibe. And that's when I, you know, really changed my approach. And I got better at doing the romantic connection until it got a lot more consistent in my life. So now I don't even go out that much at all like I used to. Like before, I used to go like almost every day to practice. Now I can go like maybe twice a month and get more results than I used to when I was playing the phone numbers game, just pushing a lot of girls trying to get numbers. So romantic connection is basically what the Donald Effect is about. Donald Effect means establishing a romantic connection before parting ways. And romantic connection basically means I like her, she likes me, and we're both willing to move forward in a romantic direction together. That's what it is.
Okay, now when you say the word romantic, I know different people have different definitions. When I think romantic, I think long-term monogamous relationship. Is that your primary pursuit when you meet women, to have a long-term monogamous relationship?
Man, I love this question so much. And not necessarily. When I meet a woman on the street, you know, no matter, like, if it's only for 15 minutes or even an hour, it's kind of hard for her to really, really honestly want to be in a relationship with me. So that's not my goal. My goal is just to create the possibility of having a romantic encounter with me, a romantic relation, possibility, meaning that, you know, at this moment, she hasn't really made up her mind for sure whether she wants to date me, whether she wants to have sex with me. So this is a great spot to be in, because it means that if I meet her again, you know, I can take it to the direction that I desire. So that's what it really is. It's essentially like, okay, she's thinking, the thing is that the problem with some of the old methods is that a lot of them are geared to having, you know, one-night stands. So, you know, either the girl is down to have sex with you that night, or it's not going to go anywhere, because that's all she was down for at that particular moment. But the good thing about a romantic connection is that, you know, she doesn't know what it is either. All she knows is that she likes you again, and she wants to see you again and see, you know, she likes you. She has the basic liking for you in a romantic way. She just wants to know, as she gets to know you better, where she would want to go with you. And with that, again, you can do a lot. You can go for a relationship if you want. You can shoot for sex. You can shoot for a sexual relationship.
Oh, okay, well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Let's say you meet a woman named Brenda, and you guys got pretty nice vibe between you two, and she makes it known that she wants, you know, a long-term monogamous relationship that's going to potentially lead to marriage, but you just want to tap that ass. You want to just fuck her and just basically have casual sex. How do you resolve that, the differences between you two's interests?
All right, cool. That happens. Or it happens to me sometimes as well. And when that happens, I basically, let's rewind. A lot of times, like, if I meet her on a date, let's say I met her for 15 minutes, I doubt that she'll tell me that in the first 15 minutes. Let's say I meet her on a date now, she tells me that in a date. I do a lot of stuff beforehand to prevent this stuff. I'm more kind of preventative kind of guy, as opposed to, like, say trying to do it on the spot. So I would always communicate.
Wait. Time out. You say you're a preventative?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So it means that, you know, it's like there's band-aid solutions, and there's like the cure, right? So instead of waiting for her to say this to counter it, I can do it that way beforehand by progressively letting her know, give her hints, getting stronger and stronger, that I'm a man who likes a lot of other women. I even document this. It's one of my most recent posts on my blog right now. It's called the Girlfriend Documentaries, where, you know, it shows how I deal with this kind of stuff. So let's say on the date, I'll say a story like this. I'll be like, oh my God, this is crazy. Like, this girl I just went on a date with yesterday said XYZ, you know? So, you know, automatically she's beginning to know what my vibe is, what my deal is, you know, and she can decide whether or not she wants to move forward. So, you know, she'll clearly know just by me talking about this stuff, you know, that I'm a man of multiple women. Now, if she still brings it up, I'll be honest with her. I'll tell her, yeah, right now I don't know you that well. I'm just getting to know you. Why would I just get a sense of because I don't even know? You know, I still will tell her that, you know. So I would tell her that. Let's say if I just want sex too, if she's like, well, do you just want sex? If I know I only want sex, I'll say, yeah, I just want sex, you know, and have fun. And you know, if she doesn't like it, I'm more than happy to let her go. But most cases, I find that I don't want to get in that situation anymore.
Well, as you know, in the attraction and seduction community, there's a kind of a two major factions or two major philosophies of thought. One is those who subscribe to what's known as indirect game, and then those that subscribe to direct game. Let me ask you, as I ask a lot of people who I invite as guests, what's your personal definition? You know, not thinking about anybody else's definition, just yours. What's your definition of a direct approach versus an indirect approach?
All right. My definition of a direct approach, my definition of direct game, the difference between direct game and direct approach, I would say that direct game is basically when you talk to the girl and at some point, you know, she knows your intentions that you like romantically or like her sexually, right? Now, direct opening means that you approach a girl, and on the open, you tell her, hey, listen, I saw you walking. I thought you were sexy. I just had to meet you. So that's direct opening. Now, so, I mean, I hate to make things so complicated, but that's the way I break it down when it comes to direct game. Indirect game is basically just, you know, like let's say between getting the talk to them, getting a number, just like not really getting to a romantic zone and just getting her number before, like, she parts ways, and it's not really stated that you actually have any romantic liking for her. That's what I call direct game. And I would say indirect opening is when you approach her about something that's, you know, has nothing to do with her or, you know, your liking for her. Maybe, you know, and it's talked about like casual conversation that goes nowhere or that's just, that doesn't really hint anything. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
let me ask you similarly. There's also people who talk about, as I talked about in my intro, day game versus night game. Do you think you have to have a totally different skill set to be successful with day game than you do to be successful with night game?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I think night game in general these days, especially in New York City, it's more about getting the girl the same night, you know, and just going for that. And to be honest, if I look at this, I have a lot of statistics about how well people do in this. So I've been coaching for like 3 years now, and most people usually don't meet girlfriends. They usually don't. I mean, yes, there are some exceptions, but we don't care about the exceptions, right? They usually don't get, like, you know, girlfriends or even girls to stick around after meeting them to the club just because it's so fast-paced. The girl never got to connect them properly. And by the time they have sex, it happens so fast that it's kind of awkward after that sometimes, in some cases, for the girl to actually legitimately try to get to know him on a normal level and vice versa. So, and, you know, night game, generally speaking, is it's a different set of skills. I would say this. I think it requires less skills than day game. Day game, basically, mainly because of girls are a lot more akin to social awkwardness in the daytime settings. You know, so you have to be more on your feet and more social and more, you know, better conversationalist, and also have, you know, more balls because you have less alcohol. So you have to, you know, have more balls to make more physical advances during the daytime than the nighttime where it's dark and you can hide behind your social mask. And the girls can hide behind their social mask, too, and do things they don't normally do. So I think day game actually, if you can do good day game and get the results from meet to sex, night game is definitely easier, you know, because, you're a lot more attuned to a lot of different things.
Okay, I'm going to go to my phone line. Area code 310. I believe your first name is Michael. You are now upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your questions for my guest, Justin Wayne?
Hey, Justin, how's it going, man?
Doing good.
I actually, I post on your blog quite frequently, so you've answered a lot of my questions. As you know, like my main important question is, you know, because I know you're a hardcore introvert when it comes to pickup, and I myself, coming from an extroverted nature, you know, knowing a lot of people in my social circle, but I always found that set of choice to be constricting. It's kind of like a weird. Like, I mean, I don't mind the social circle, but the reason I did pick up initially was freedom of choice. So my question is that I've recently, as you know, been struggling with the numbers game. And I've had, you know, because your book's not out yet, and I'm really dying over it, to be honest. I've had relatively, I'd say, like, even though I've approached, like, probably on a good day, I approach 80 women, and I can get 20 to 30 numbers. I play a very, like, right now it's kind of, I play kind of like a very Paul Janka. I know Alan doesn't really like Paul Janka, but I know Paul Janka, and, you know, my game is kind of like his. It's like in the, you know, some women.
Hey, wait, before I let you go, Michael, I want to clarify, it's very few guests, I just don't like them as people. So I tend to separate people versus their philosophies. Me and Paul Janka, I'm not the biggest fan of a lot of his philosophies about, approaching women and interacting with women. But just as a person in general, I don't have any beef against him. So I just want to make that clear. I mean,
we
clashed. When I interviewed him on my show, we clashed because it started when he tried to slam my principles. He slammed Mo 1. Oh. And anytime you slam Mo 1, you're going to get an argument out of me. as you were saying,
that makes a lot of sense. I've tried to implement, you know, I know you say don't base it on the videos that you do. I've tried doing something from the videos, and I don't know, like I've really only experienced in like a good day, if I go up to 10 girls, the first four may not hook. And then I actually today what happened was I went up to this one girl. And she was really shirking, even at the excuse me tester. And I don't know, I just talked to her, and I guess I took it very indirect, kind of gave her some time, kind of escalated it the best way I know, because I don't know the domino effect, and I'm still actively waiting for it. Yeah. But I feel, and then we went on an instant date, made out, and now she's been texting me like crazy. Guess I established some romantic connection, because usually when I'm approaching so many women, some will stay to talk with you for 5 minutes. One example is I'm actually from Turkey. I'm part brown, so not too brown. But I went up to one girl. I said, hey, excuse me. I don't ever usually do this, but I wanted to tell you you had this really. And before I could even finish my sentence, she says, I don't date terrorists. So it's kind of like it's logistically speaking, I have been very exposed to the numbers game. It takes a certain level of coldness to do this constantly over time, and depression can follow. I haven't been too depressed, but, I mean, what do you definitely think in terms of the romantic connection, how logistics favors? Because I truly believe even though...
Hey, Michael, let me stop you again, if you don't mind. I hate to interject. Yeah. But you mentioned depression. What, you suffered depression from approaching women?
Yeah, very much so.
Why do you think that is?
It's not anything like, because I'm a very extroverted guy, and so, you know, when you're in a social circle, you're not usually exposed to, you know, because as Justin Wayne says, and I really believe this, and a lot of his core teachings I vibe with on like such a personal level, is that you're always coming from the stranger, so it's not a healthy aspect to condition your mind to constantly be coming in as a stranger. Even as an extrovert, someone who can strike up a conversation with anyone, it's really unhealthy, because as a stranger, people are automatically looking at you. Your value's inherently lower when you're approaching. Some people are off-put. It's just I feel like constantly being conditioned to it. It's not generally healthy unless
you can... So wait a minute. You're essentially saying you don't like to approach strange women.
No. I like, I mean, this is what I like to do, but obviously.
Okay, you like, you're saying you like to approach strange women, but
you like
doing it, but you get depressed as a result of it.
Absolutely, because you're playing a numbers game. It's very much, you'll have a great interaction. I'll tell you one, kissed a girl in the mall and got the number, and she flaked. Basically, that's what I mean, maybe
yeah,
I escalated in 3 minutes, you know.
That could happen. That could happen.
I'm confused here, man. You guys going to have to help me out. Because, see,
yeah.
I never liked approaching women, but then became depressed as a result of it. So it's hard for me to reconcile that in my mind.
Right.
How do you enjoy approaching women, but at the same time it leads to depression?
Yeah, Alan, I can kind of like speak for this guy here. basically what happened is that when I first started, I went through a very interesting phase because at one point in my life, before I actually started going on the streets, I actually became, temporarily for 1 year, I became a hermit, a true hermit, someone who, if I stepped too far from my house, I would start getting panic attacks, my heart would start beating, and it was beyond social anxiety, okay?
Do you have agoraphobia?
Huh?
Do you have agoraphobia?
Well, I don't have anything now, but at that point in time, for a year, I had other hermit, right? I didn't diagnose it either. I didn't really want to deal with that mentally. It was hard for me to deal with. And so one of my inspirations for really going out also was to get over my basic social anxiety. So that's 1 year later, okay? So after that, you know, I would approach a lot of girls, and I got rid of the phobia, right, the hermit thing, you know, and I'm what you call a hardcore introvert. I like to be inside. I don't really like going out that much naturally. Sure, if I warm up and I can get in the social mode to want to talk to girls. So what he's trying to say is that even though he likes approaching girls, he likes women, like he thinks that it has a low return on investment if he does purely stranger approaching. And that can get exhausting because at the end of the day, you know, you're not approaching girls to get a six to say hi and get a phone number. He still wants to see some bottom line results in his life, a.k.a.
Absolutely.
Sex and girls in his life. And you know, so that happens to most of the pickup artists, actually. Most people who back to stranger approaching, they end up getting depressed. This is actually journaled. I have a lot of clients who complain, whether introvert, extrovert, whether they got laid a few times, whether they didn't, they still get depressed because, you know, first of all, this is a very new field, and there's not that much information about how to really get true results from stranger pickup. Secondly, most of the pickup gurus don't prove the results either, so they could be lying.
Well, let me ask
you
this. Let me ask you this, Justin. I don't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
But here's the deal. Okay, let's say you and Michael on the phone here.
Yeah.
Go to a restaurant where you want to be served good food. And let's say 40% of the time they serve you good food when you ask for whatever dish you ask for. And let's say 60% of the time the food is that same dish is just average to less than average. How do you two feel like you can improve the results you get from that restaurant?
I think in that analogy, we're assuming that, you know, in terms of the restaurant, we're going up to women and we're asking, you know, something of them and we're expecting a certain outcome. I think the important thing to realize is even though I got depressed from playing the numbers game, and Justin knows this, even as an extrovert, when you go up to women, your goal is not, I think the term pickup artist is such a terrible term because it essentially, you know, it's painted in such a bad light in the media as someone who's going just after sex or something like that, where really it's just about the connection with women. But obviously we don't expect like a certain outcome, but you know, at the end of the day, as humans, we tend to backwards rationalize our results, and that's all we have at the end of the day in terms of the truth of, you know, going up to someone, trying to make a connection and meeting someone new. Obviously, like if you go to a restaurant, you get like a dish and the dish kind of sucks. Well, you know, that's just stuff that's out of your control at the end of the day.
There you go. You see, you said the line I was looking for. I mean, I know there's going to be some things you believe and Justin believes that are going to be somewhat different than what I believe, but I guess where I personally have a problem when I listen to certain things that people say.
Yes.
I get asked a lot about quote-unquote results, and what I tell guys is never attach yourself to results that are out of your control.
Right, well, yeah.
You
I
know,
mean,
when
different...
if you're talking about, say, improving your physique, that's in your control. You have control over whether you get down on the floor and do some push-ups or whether you
right.
go outside and jog.
Yeah.
That's totally under your control. But have you two ever heard of Stephen Covey, who writer of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People?
I
guess no. Well, there's a guy named Stephen Covey. He wrote this book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I'm a big fan of his. And the main message of his book, he divides all activities into three categories: direct control activities, indirect control activities, and no control activities. Direct control, I already gave an example, would be exercise would be the best example of a direct
right.
control activity. Indirect control activity would be something actually like attraction and seduction, because you can do your part, but there's still a part that depends on the woman's how receptive she is to you, how what she's feeling about you. So you can't really look at that as a direct control activity, because ultimately she's going to have some degree of decision-making power in your interaction.
You know, Mr. Curry, actually, this is one of the reasons why, you know, when I heard of Justin Wayne, he was the first guy to actually finally mention something, how game is actually a numbers game versus your game, things in your control versus things out of your control. And it is part logistics. Maybe he can explain it, yeah.
Well, I'd like to come in here a little bit and clarify some situations. So, Alan, the main problem right now with the way game is looked upon is that the game is pretty much purely a numbers game, right, in general. Mm. So not that Alan says it, but a lot of people come on forums and say, oh, well, Justin Wayne is just playing a numbers game, right? Well, in reality, if that was true, that means that if they put the same amount of goals as me, they'll get the same exact results, right? And that's not the case, right? That has yet to been proven, and I wouldn't have got so much buzz, so to speak, if it's a numbers game. I mean, everybody will get my results, right? So obviously, there's this, you know, but it's still a numbers game to it, and I'm not going to lie about that. And some of it has to do with if it goes receptive at that moment. Just to be speaking, like, obviously, approaching a girl on the street is going to be a lot more difficult than approaching a girl who's sitting down smiling. A girl, you know, sitting there smiling will be more difficult than a girl that's been introduced to you through a friend that spoke very well, good things about you. So there are things outside of your control, but things within your control, I mean, maybe indirect and direct things, are your body language, the path that you take, which is more what the dominant is really about, the actual path and structure that you take, timing. At certain times, you know, if I say something, you know, at a certain time, it really does make a difference, especially when you're walking a thin rope. What I'm trying to show people is that, yes, you can optimize your game to the point where some people can. As long as they're average and above, or at least average, they can really optimize their game still. There's a lot of loopholes in game theory right now in that part, in your game column. Or actually, the numbers game, sure, you can't do that much. Like if the girl's unavailable,
Okay, here's my thing. I'm going to speak my piece, and then I promise I'm going to let you guys do more talking. I'm going to go back to something you said, Michael. You said that pickup artist gets a bad name because they're all about sex. I would disagree with that, at least for me. Mm. One of the reasons I have a problem with the term pickup artist, I don't use it for myself, even though it's interesting. Some internet website a couple years ago ranked me as the top black pickup artist in the world. And I wrote that website and said, I'm flattered by that title, but I don't use the term PUA. For me, PUA has manipulative connotations to it.
Right.
When I think of a PUA, I think of somebody who approaches women and uses charm and creative psychological gimmicks. Basically, they mislead the woman to one degree or another to make them think they're just engaging them in entertaining and charming conversation, when in reality, they want to get in their pants. I don't feel like there's nothing wrong with pursuing sex. I pursued many women just for sex.
Right.
The difference between me and probably 98% of the guys out there is that I'm bold and upfront and straightforward about it, which is where the title of the show comes from, upfront and straightforward. I let women know. I've gone up to women literally and told them, hey, the only reason I approach you is because I want to fuck you. Seriously,
wow.
I've told women that. I've looked them dead in the eyes and said, the only reason I approached you just now is because I want to fuck you. I don't want to date you. I don't want to have a relationship that's going to lead to marriage. I don't.
Wow, Mr. Curry, that's awesome. Because,
see, the thing that gives me the ammunition to be that bold is because rejection, I just don't give a fuck. Now, a lot of people give a fuck, and I'm not going to criticize those who do give a fuck. I don't give a fuck about rejection. All I care about is letting a woman know what my true desires, interests, and intentions are.
Right.
If they choose to reciprocate my desires and interests, of course we're going to fuck. If they choose not to reciprocate my interests, I'm going to say, hey, it was great meeting you, and, you know, you take care. And but, yeah, I've never, ever, ever gotten depressed approaching women. So that's the first thing you said that just struck me, because I can't relate to that, because I love even the times when I get rejected, as weird as that may sound, I still love approaching. I like the experience of approaching women.
It's not to say because I got depressed, I hate it, I'm sitting here cutting myself or anything like that. It's just at the end of the day, when you're, you know, texting, you're doing phone game because you didn't do that romantic connection, as, you know, Justin would advocate before parting ways. I mean, now it's just so blatantly obvious.
Wait, he advocates
which one
what
will,
now? I didn't hear that. Say that again.
He advocates the romantic connection before parting ways.
Oh, the romantic. Okay, yeah, he said
that.
Yeah,
and I just know now which ones will be flake, and I just delete their number right after. I don't even bother even texting them at this point, because I just know what I'm doing is not working, because the end result is, you know, it's a real numbers game, 50-50.
I want to interject here, too. So basically, Alan, you said that, you know, and I'm speaking from purely a scientific place, state of mind. I only care about just finding the truth. So there's no kind of, like, negative emotion within me. I might ask a few questions to Alan that may, you know, challenge certain things that you believe in, right? And I think this is great for the radio show anyways. So when you talk about not getting depressed from getting rejected, right? The reason why a lot of guys are getting depressed from getting rejected is not the fact that they got rejected. It's the fact that they do what you call mass approaching, day in, day out, to acquire these skills, right? And this accident of mass approaching and getting, like, a lot less than they actually anticipated, a lot less results, sometimes no results virtually, or not the type of woman they want. You know, it's a lot of work for a guy to wake up in the morning, after work, okay, I'm going to approach a lot of random women on the street in a very social, awkward situations and try to make it work. And then, so then it creates depression. It's not the fact that they got rejected once or twice or a few times. It's the fact that they're not getting the bottom line results that they want after doing mass approaching and really putting themselves out there day in, day out. So my question to you,
Alan,
is,
when you say results, you're saying, in other words, they're not getting any pussy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my question to Alan
is, for different pickup artists, it definitely is, like, you know, some can go out and for a relationship. It's, at the end result, they're not going and thinking, okay, I don't go and thinking, oh, there's a girl at the corner of Starbucks. God, I want her pussy. I never go in thinking that. And to be honest, by the 50th time you do it, it's called momentum, and you truly become indifferent to it. And I think that, like, where the depression comes from is just you're not getting the connection you want with people, you know.
Yes.
I think.
Okay, well, let me take another call, Michael. Right. Let me take another call, and I'm going to bring you back in a few minutes. I got, looks like my friend Adrian, 614. Adrian, up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest Justin Wayne. What's your questions or thoughts about this conversation?
I have some comments. I think pickup artists are full of shit. It's a game. Anybody who feels that they need to study or perfect their craft of picking up women is full of shit. You need to be yourself. You need to go after that woman. You need to go talk to that woman and tell her what you want. Don't play a fucking game with her. And if that's what they're doing and that's what, you know, they're putting feathers in their cap, I think Michael Justin Wayne in the chat room said, you know, he's been a pickup artist for 5 years and he's had sex with over 30 women and he's proud of that fact. That's bullshit to me.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
wait, you got a criticism against him having sex with 30 women?
What?
I'm talking to Adrian.
No,
who said that? 30 women, by the way.
He's had
said that.
30 women. The criticism is that he's bragging about being a pickup artist and this is how he's got to have sex with 30 women. If you're going to have sex with 30 women, then you need to do it on your own merits, not because you're trying to bullshit some woman into having sex with you.
Okay. Okay, well, given that criticism, I have to ask you, Michael, you've had sex with 30 women in the last 5 years?
No, in the last year and a half.
In the last 18 months?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Okay, Michael, you've had sex with 30 women in the last 18 months.
Yeah.
And you
said
you've got depressed? I'm not really getting that now.
Okay, I want to really clarify.
How would you ever be depressed if you've had sex with 30 women in 18 months?
I really want to clarify. I want to clarify one thing, okay?
Okay.
Obviously, we get into this for choice. Most men, most women that I know, most of my friends in their social circle, they settle for people that they're not even fully in love with. I mean, this is a real sad fact of reality. Some women, logistically speaking, they don't have better options, and they settle for Joe Schmo. And then when you ask them, you know, why'd you do that? They're like, oh, no, like, I love him. So for me, as a pickup artist, it's for choice. And I think she said, you know, pickup artists are full of shit. I told you, I hate that term. Because what newbies do, and I'll tell you, they get into this. And Justin, and I mean, we both did it. It's essentially where you follow this exact method like a robot. You execute, like, negs. You insult the woman. I mean, this was the original method. You insult the hot one. You roll off. You tell a fake story. I mean, it was really bad. And pickup is not, it's never been one guy made.
Again, let me ask you again straightforwardly. You've had sex with 30 women in 18 months, and you said you get depressed over approaching women. Please explain that to me.
Hold on. Because I want to interject here. Michael, are you saying that you're not satisfied with the quality of those 30 women that you've slept with?
The ones that I'm getting are way below, like, I'm just being honest, like, it's kind of like, it kind of sounds bad, but if they want it, and even if they're not of my, like, quality standard, like, I'll still maybe, it's not like, I'm not like, okay, I guess I'll just do it anyways. There is some feeling there when I go in for the approach, but necessarily speaking in terms of personality, personal, you know, if we're clicking as two people, it's not there, and, well, you know, things happen, and then you, yeah, I mean.
So you're sleeping with women that are below your standards.
Yes.
Why are you doing that?
Wow.
You know, it's not like.
Why would you approach a woman that's been beneath your standards? I don't understand that.
Here's the thing: you don't know if they're at your standard until after it's happened. Let me just say, because the timeline we're assuming is first, like, you get to know them.
So you don't know
it
until after you fuck a woman that she's below your standards.
I want to interject here quickly, right?
No, Justin, don't interject right now. I want to hear this from Michael. You don't understand that a woman is beneath your standards until after you fucked them and had an orgasm with them.
Yes, but honestly, the way it's being phrased, I'm really, you know,
that's
I totally
a yes or no question.
You.
Come on, Michael, that's a yes or no question.
Yes, I don't know until afterwards. That's just the reality. Sometimes it happens. You know how sometimes things just happen? It's
okay,
literally
what
like
do you
that.
Find out about this woman after you fuck them that makes you say, damn, she's beneath my standards? That you didn't know
before
you fucked them.
It doesn't.
I believe everyone has they have certain criteria that they want out of the relationship. Some can be unrealistic.
Michael, you know I keep it real. I don't know if you, is this your first time listening to my show?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then I'm going to indoctrinate you, baptize you to how I do things. Then when people start giving me full of shit answers, I'm going to tell you directly, you're being full of shit. All right,
fuck it.
Right
I'll
now,
you're
being full of shit, dude.
Okay,
I don't know you.
Let's
I don't
do
know
it.
Nothing about you. But based on your answers, you're being really full of shit. Because I don't understand what you could identify about a woman after you fuck them to make you say, oh, shit, damn, this babe is a skank. She's believing my standards that you wouldn't have been able to identify before you. I know before I even fucking open my mouth with a woman whether she's up to my standard. There might be little subtle things that I might not learn until I converse
right,
with them for 5, 10, 15 minutes. But generally, I know if a woman is on my quote-unquote standard level at the time I'm approaching them. So I just have a hard time understanding that. I also have a hard time understanding how you can complain about being frustrated and depressed and you've had sex with 30 women in an 18-month. Very few guys have sex with 30 women in 18 months. Now, you're saying that, yeah, I had sex with 30 women, but 90% of them were skanks. Well, that's your problem. Well, I don't know why you would even approach a woman that would ultimately end up being beneath your standards. But, yeah, man, from this point forward, if I include you in the conversation, if I ask you a direct question, I'm looking for a direct answer, not no long-winded, because that means you trying to think of the right thing to say in the right way that'll make you sound good. Right. Just be real, man. Just be real. Adrian, I got to take a commercial, but before I go to commercial, I'm going to let you finish whatever question or comments that you want to add. Anything else you want to add based on anything he said? Or
there's nothing else to add to that ridiculousness.
Okay. Right now, I'm going to take a intermission break. Area code 617, I see you in my phone queue. I'm going to come to you next right after the intermission break. But don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back in about 4 to 5 minutes, so don't go anywhere.
Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Kanahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist. So I'm getting treated for
my sex disease. This is Nikki True, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Brandy L. Davis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.com. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310. 310, you are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy. You're not the richest guy out there. How are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Hey,
going on, fellas?
Thanks for tuning in. It's nice to see you all again, so.
If you found this page, I'm guessing at least on some level you'd like more success.
Seducing sexy ladies. Here's the deal.
My name's Sasha. Hello. And I like women.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
This website has tons of resources to help you guys get that success that you want. It's all there for you. The articles, the videos, my blog, the luck and adventures and tips, it's all there for you guys.
Let's make the magic happen.
If you're interested in some more intense training, take one of my boot camps. They are fucking good. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm doing boot camps all around the world, so I might be coming to your city.
I would love to come over there and teach you this stuff because it's awesome. And you learn how to meet tons of hot girls.
If you're in London, this is the guy. He's going to take good care of you. He's really present in the moment. He's really good. He hooks up with tons of girls. Good teacher and just somebody you want to hang out with and learn from.
Oh, so many names.
It's my first name and my sister name.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, I will see you.
You will?
Ryan.
Ryan. Me too.
Over the last few years, I've dedicated my life to getting good in a sort of fun and natural way of meeting women in the daytime.
What are you doing actually in your free time? What's your goal?
I meet beautiful girls on the streets. You know, chat girls on the street. Sound test? Sound test 1, 2, 3, 4. Sexy man. Hi. Can I get a little fist action? We're filming. I'm going to do a little fist. Just come on. You know you want to. You know you want to fist me right now. Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, check out the bootcamp stage if you're interested in that.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's useful to you. So please.
Sasha at SashaPway.com. Thanks for coming to the site and...
Stop being a fucking... Just... What? I mean, come on, people. She's there in front of you. That's the only indicator of interest you need. She's there. You're there. Go for it.
Please pay a visit to www.sashapua.com.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my interview with New York City pickup artist Justin Wayne on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Tonight, I'm chatting it up with a young brother who's gained some popularity in the Big Apple, New York City, in the world of attraction and seduction in the pickup artist community. He goes by the name Justin Wayne, and he's my guest tonight talking about his philosophies and principles for approaching women, particularly approaching women on the street, women you don't know on the street, what would be called a cold approach, or also what would be called a day game approach. I got some people in my phone queue. I'm going to go with area code 617. 617, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, Justin Wayne. What's your question or comment about this conversation?
Hey, Alan, this is Valarco.
Valarco! What's up, Valarco? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. First of all, I have to congratulate you on being the top presenter at Direct Dating Summit twice, man.
Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Man, you're the man, Alan, man. Like, there wasn't even a fair competition. You just won.
Well, for
man.
My listeners who don't know, well, most of my long-term listeners would know about this event because I've had the guys who organized this event and participated in it on my show, but I've been a part of what's called the Direct Dating Summit. Like I was talking about earlier in this conversation with Justin, that there's two factions in the in what's known as the attraction and seduction community. Some people just call it the seduction community. There's a lot of gurus and dating coaches who fall under the philosophy of thought of the direct approach. Then there's others who mainly emphasize an indirect approach. And then there's probably a handful that kind of like to do a blend of the two. I'm all about the direct approach, which simply means when I'm saying being direct, when I approach women, I let them know right off the bat why I approach them and why I want to share their company in the near future. That's what I define. Everybody has their own definition, but that's my definition of a direct approach, is when you approach a woman, you don't waste a lot of time with small talk and just, you know, trivial conversation. You let her know why you approached her and why you want to share. Indirect approach would be if you engage a woman in, say, 10 to 15 minutes or more of entertaining small talk. You talk about her sister's dog and your favorite movie and, you know, why you like being a vegetarian instead of eating meat and all that other shit. And then towards the end of the conversation, you say, hey, you know, well, why don't we get together for dinner sometime? But anyway, they had this event called the Direct Dating Summit. I was a speaker in London for this event in November of 2010. Then I was also a speaker for this same event they had in Las Vegas in mid-March of this year, 2012. They've actually had a third one that was in Australia in early May. I did not attend that one. But anyway, what Balarco, who just called in, mentioned, and I appreciate him mentioning it, after each of the events, Sasha, who's been on this show four times, Sasha Daygame, you just heard his commercial, actually, he does a survey of the participants, and he basically asked them what speakers do you think left the most impact on you, what speakers do you think were the most informative, et cetera. And in the London one, I got voted the top speaker, most informative speaker. And then recently I found out just this week that for the Direct Dating Summit in Vegas, I got voted the top speaker, most informative speaker. So I was very flattered by that. It's very gratifying for me.
Whoa.
I'm glad I was able to impact the guys who were at that event. So anyway, enough tooting my horn. Balarco, do you have a specific question or comment related to the conversation? I'm sure you've been listening for a while. What's your general thoughts?
Well, I have been listening to Michael for a while, and like when I was listening throughout the time, I was thinking, man, that's some bullshit. I can't believe I'm listening to this bullshit. But maybe, I don't know, does he suffer from the Madonna whore complex? Like, holy... Man, I'm telling you, Michael, man, whatever your depression is, if you want to get rid of the depression, you need to get mode one, man.
Yeah, man, I mean, I'm sure Michael's a good guy. I don't want to totally disparage him. I mean, but where he left me confused, and again, I'm going to let him clarify himself a little bit more, but, yeah, I don't see why any guy who likes approaching women would find themselves feeling depressed. That was the first thing that kind of left a big question mark on my head. And then his most recent thing, when he said he's slept with 30 women in 18 months, but he still feels frustrated or disappointed because he feels like the vast majority of those women are beneath his standard. And for a guy like me, if that works for him, if he wants to continue that way, more power to him. But I would never approach a number of women who are beneath my standards. I would never do that. I mean, I know at least half the time, I know just looking at a woman, even before I have a conversation with her, I know, at least from a physical perspective, I know even before I approach a woman if a woman is, quote-unquote, in my standard level. And then, as far as her general personality, her kind of, you know, psychological state, I usually know that within the first 5, 10, 15 minutes of the conversation. Now, there's some women, of course, there's exceptions, There's some women say, I thought the first week after talking to them that they were real cool women, only to find out they were psychotic or a stalker or had major issues. So, of course, you're going to find out, continue to find out things as you get to know a woman. But I don't know if I've ever had a situation where I approached a woman, fucked her, and then right after I fucked her, I said, damn, this woman's beneath my standards.
Yeah,
that,
Alan.
That don't sound right to me.
Yeah, Alan. No, I'm
okay,
I understand.
Is this Justin?
Yeah, Justin Wayne right here.
Okay.
Yeah. No, understanding exactly what you're saying. And honestly, I understood most of the things that Michael spoke about. The main reason why I understand this is because I constantly deal with a lot of guys. A lot of my clients are guys who actually been doing this thing for a while. So they come to me to tighten things up. And I think I could be wrong. He can correct me, too. Michael can correct me. I don't agree with the fact that he didn't know that they were not his standard when he met them. I don't see how you can magically not know after you have sex with them that you're not into them. I think what happened is that there's an old pickup philosophy, which I don't necessarily agree with, that says, you know, you have to start with the ones and the twos before you get to the tens, basically. And, you know, and so basically a lot of people would go out. I had another client actually recently.
Wait. I'm sorry. I know I keep interrupting you. I do that on my show.
Yeah.
But if I don't understand something and or I don't agree with something, I tend to interrupt. But you said you have to start out with ones and twos before you start approaching nines and tens.
What I'm saying, I never said that. I'm saying it's an old pickup philosophy. Now, just so you guys know, too, like, the only reason why, you know, I talk about pick up or say the word PUA is simply because a lot of people, like, the market is kind of is really big for that, and most PUAs can identify with trying to pick up girls. But it doesn't mean that I endorse most of the sayings or beliefs. So this is not something that I endorse. This is something that's been said before I even got into this game. And they were trying to say, to develop your skill set, you have to practice in girls that are somewhat easier. And most cases, a girl that's below your let's say if you are a 7 out of 10 in attractiveness, and you know, they say that you should practice in girls like a 4 out of 10 just to get your skill set up. Let's say if a guy has a problem with sexual anxiety, right? It probably would be easier for him to sleep with a girl lower than his own caliber than up his caliber or more. So that's basically what the philosophy was. Now, do I agree with it personally? No. I think that it's degrading to your core, degrading to your soul to sleep with someone that you don't want to sleep with. It's a waste of your time and her time. So I don't agree with that necessarily at all. But I think that that's what he was doing. I think that he was trying to – most people do pick up. They do it more from a practice mindset where it's like, okay – I'm just going to go out today and indiscriminately approach girls and, you know, they're going to look okay at best, and I probably will still try just to get my skills up. And also, high-quality girls a lot of times will be more difficult to get. I mean, that's the truth. If you approach the higher the quality, the less girls you will get. So if Michael approached nothing but 8s, 9s, and 10s, so to speak.
Okay, Justin, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question. And, Belarco, I'm going to get back to you in a second. But let's say there was a group of women, right, that called themselves the Gold Digger Club. Matter of fact, I interviewed a woman who was a self-proclaimed gold digger on my show, but that's another story. But let's say there was this group of beautiful women that called themselves a Gold Digger Club. And they said, women, what we're going to do is go out today, and we're not going to approach any men that we're genuinely interested in. We're just going to approach some men to get practice on taking their money. And this woman comes up to you and acts like she's really interested in you. She's putting on that feminine charm and that sex appeal, and she gets you to take her out to dinner. And then after you spend some money on that dinner, she says, okay, Justin, I can't wait to see you next week. And then as she leaves that day, she's laughing, and she goes back to her girlfriend and says, yeah, I just scored one because, yeah, I got some good practice. Now, not that that's ever happened to you, but just using this hypothetical, how would that make you feel?
Oh, just as I said before, I do not agree with that mentality. So you're pretty much preaching to the choir here. I would not feel good. It depends. Let's say if I just wanted sex, I wouldn't care if you used me for money or anything else. But if I actually genuinely liked her, then I wouldn't like it. So, you know, in reality, so that's basically what it is. but I don't. Do I condone that kind of thinking? No, I actually think it's not healthy to have sex with people that you're just not attracted to, just to say you did it. I think that's not healthy, and it can cause depression because you're forced to have sex with someone that you don't want to have sex with, and that's probably why that can add to his depression to some degree.
Yeah, I don't think any man should have sex with any woman that he's gonna feel depressed afterwards. I don't think I've ever experienced that in my life. Balarco, back to you, buddy. You made one comment. You felt
like
a lot of things.
Of questions. First question being that to Justin, that like, have you ever just walked up to a woman and within, let's say, like a couple of minutes told her that you want to have sex with her, like generally Alan does? Secondly, second question is, you have talked a lot about like building connection. Now, this is just my opinion that when two people are upfront and straightforward and their intentions match, connection gets automatically built. One doesn't have to build it, because this is just my opinion. Just like whenever I tried to build connection with someone, I was almost like ended up wasting my time and nothing happened, and I ended up thinking, wow, that was some bullshit, man.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. Believe it or not, I spent a lot of years being extremely neutral as possible by taking myself out and looking for the truth. My objective is not to be right. I don't want to be right. I want to find the truth. I want to know what really worked. So listen, I want to answer your first question. All right, what was your first question? Do you remember? I don't remember exactly your first question.
First question was that, have you ever been like super direct, like gone and talked to the woman and within like 2 minutes told her that, you know what, I want to fuck you?
Oh yeah, anybody who knows me, you know, I have videos of me doing that successfully. There's a video, if you Google Justin Wayne direct versus indirect game, it's a video product that I worked on called Adventures of Justin Wayne Volume 1, where, you know, they record us and you see me doing different styles of game and still getting the same result in the end, right? To prove that, you know, there's a way to this. So I decided to put my money where my mouth is and prove to people that you can go direct or indirect. So in that first video, I approached a girl and I said this. I was like, she was walking and I said, hey, come here. She came to me to find out what I had to say. And I told her, I said, I just saw you walking or whatever. And I thought to myself that you were very, very sexy. And despite the fact that I'm totally trying to get in your pants right now, I just thought that was some of that, right? Some shit like that. And that was very bold. And I've done it a lot of times before. And there's times for that. And there's times where that works nicely. But there's other times where if I no disrespect to Alan, I think I love your whole mode one. I love it especially in the relationships. Or any kind of relationship development. I love the mode one philosophy in general. I think it's great for avoiding manipulation, because if you know what you want, you're not going to veer away from it. But I think for the initial approach, you know, I do what you call a tester. I mean, sure, if I go approach a lot of girls and say, I think you're sexy, you want to, you know, what ends up happening most of the time, I end up playing a huge numbers game than when I adjust things a little bit in the beginning. This is the beginning. That's what I've noticed. In terms of, like, results-wise, I've done both. You know, I've done indirect, I've done direct, I've done a mixture. And, you know, if I only go direct all the time, for the type of girls I like, I notice that I end up playing a huge numbers game. And even though I don't waste time with one particular girl, I end up wasting a lot of time in general as the numbers increase of me approaching another girl and another girl. It's like, no, thank you, I have a boyfriend, sorry. So what I used to do that for a while.
I'm confused. Okay, when you think about the times you've approached a woman and directly told her that you wanted to have just short-term non-monogamous sex with her, and then the times where you were more indirect, where do you feel like you gained an advantage by being indirect?
Okay, so there's something that I really strongly agree with, okay, called plausible deniability, right? So, you know, social conditioning does play a factor in how girls respond, right? I find that sometimes, you know, if I approach a girl sometimes and she's not she's not receptive at that time or in that kind of zone, and I go direct, a lot of times all she does is size me up quickly, hit a stranger. Keep in mind, I'm talking about street game, by the way, in particular, right? So if I approach a girl in the street and I say, I think you're cute, you know, it's, you know, most of the times, you know, generally speaking, I might get a thank you, they'll be polite with it, but after that, like, they'll still leave and it goes nowhere. Sometimes it works. No, it works. Well, which I appreciate. Sometimes it doesn't. So what I did is I created a way on gauging when is it, like, when I approach a girl, I can now tell when to go direct or indirect. I call it a tester. I have a video with it that illustrates this out loud.
But you just said a lot of stuff, and I still didn't hear it. Maybe I missed some. But
yeah, ask me.
If you had to just sum it up in as few words as possible,
yeah.
What do you think is the number one advantage of being indirect in those instances where you are indirect?
Okay. Dealing with, in two scenarios. One is shit with a friend. Two, dealing with plausible deniability. You know what I mean by plausible deniability, right?
Okay, explain that to me like I'm a fifth grader.
No. I mean, if you already know, it's cool, you know, but I'll explain it to the rest of the audience. Plausible deniability is basically the idea that in many cases, women do not want to somewhat participate in their own seduction, especially in a social setting. A lot of times, they don't want to give you...
Oh, you're talking about what I would call a pretender. It's basically... in my second book, which is called Upfront and Straightforward, I basically divide every woman you approach into four categories: a reciprocator, a rejecter, a pretender, and a time waster. To give my listening audience the gist of that, and this is actually, you're getting free information from my book, because guys buy this book, but the first two are pretty self-explanatory. A reciprocator would be a woman, if I approach her and say, I let her know I want to fuck her for this coming up weekend, she says, yes, Alan, I'm feeling that too. I want to fuck you for this weekend. So we both want a weekend fling. We both on the same page. We make it happen. That's a reciprocator. A rejecter would be a woman I approach with the same objective of a weekend fling, and she says, no, I'm sorry, I don't do weekend flings. Matter of fact, I don't do casual sex at all. I'm sorry, I'm not interested. And then we each go about our way. A pretender, which would relate to your thing about plausible deniability, that's a woman who, if I approach her and talk about a weekend fling, initially she's probably going to go off on me. She's going to be, what? You think I'm some kind of hoe? You think I'm some kind of slut? I'm no slut, and blah, 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 blah.
That's it. Yeah,
and I've had that
it.
Happen a million times because, like you said, I do agree with that part. That a lot of women, when they're in a social setting, they don't like to be approached in a manner that makes them feel like they're being perceived as a slut. But the difference, I guess where I differ from you is that, see, I know pretenders because I know how they think. I just let them get all that shit out. I let them get all that shit out about, you know, what you think I am. And there's a video, listeners, you can go to. It's on my website now, matter of fact. It's called Women Will Try to Bait You. Women, if you haven't seen any of my videos, watch that one called Women Will Try to Bait You. If you go to mo1.net, that's my video on there. Yeah. And what I basically say in that video is that's mainly geared towards pretender type. Pretenders are going to try to get you in a defensive and or apologetic demeanor. They want you to become defensive or apologetic. If you do, they won. If you don't, you win. Basically, I don't give a fuck if a woman thinks I'm perceiving her as a hoe. I don't even argue with her about that. Yeah. I don't debate her about that. I let her get her piece out, and then I just come back with, so we fucking or what? Because I've had women curse me out on, say, Tuesday, and by Friday we was fucking. Then the final category would be a time waster. Time waster, that's a woman who's almost the flip of a pretender. That's a woman who's going to initially give you the impression she's interested in you, but as time goes on and as you become more direct with her and kind of put, what they call it, something to the fire, that's when she's going to back down and basically acknowledge that she's really not interested in you. Like the woman I had on my show who's a gold digger. She basically admitted she's a time waster. She's a woman who pretends to be interested in dating guys, pretends to be interested in giving guys a pussy until they give us some money. And then once they spend money on it, she's like, okay, see ya. Ciao, Bela.
Well, yeah. Well, Alan, I want to say one thing. I don't think we disagree on anything here. As a matter of fact, we don't disagree. Because what happened is that I call them yes girls, maybe girls, and no girls in general. I have a simple explanation for it. And the maybe girls are the pretender girls. Or sometimes they legitimately don't know what they want at that particular time. And they're just, like, living in the moment. And the way for you as a man to know where you really are is by what I would call progressive escalation or progressive flirting, right? So basically,
I have to disagree with you. You said we don't disagree, but we do. There's a lot of things we agree on. But there's a couple things we do that I'm disagreeing with you on this. And I've said this when I've done workshops. I've heard people say, well, some people don't know what they want. To me, and this is just my own opinion, that's bullshit. I believe every man and every woman always knows what they want at that given moment in time. Now, you might not know what you want in the long run. Like, say, you might meet a woman named Linda, and if I was to ask you, what type of relationship do you want with Linda over the next 5 years? Then in that situation, I can see you saying, I'm not sure. I don't know her well enough. But I think at that moment, if it's, say, Thursday, June 28th,
yes,
and I ask you, what do you want on this day, Thursday, June 28th, I would beg to differ that you don't know what you want. I always know what I want from a woman at the very moment I approach them. I always know what I want. And most women, when I press them on that, they end up admitting the same thing. Women know what they want at that given moment in time. Now, again, if you're talking about long run in the future, people become a little bit indecisive.
What about the idea then this? I mean, so you're talking about it.
Hello?
Whoa, did Justin just go?
I guess according to my phone queue, it looks his phone dropped. Well, I'm gonna bring while we get him back on. I'm gonna bring back Michael. And Michael, I know you've taken a lot of heat from me, man. But that's what happens on Upfront and Straightforward.
I just gotta bring you in, man.
But Michael, I'm gonna ask you the questions that Belarco was asking Justin.
Okay.
Michael, what percentage of the time would you say roughly of all the women you approach, how many women, either number-wise or percentage-wise, have you approached, gone up to, and within, say, the first 3 to 5 minutes of your conversation, you let them know that all you wanted was casual sex, that you just wanted to fuck them?
Honestly, over the course of 5 years, I started doing indirect, which a lot of people here see as manipulation. I stopped doing it, and I went direct for mostly 4 years, and it's been just a numbers game. I'd say about 80% of the time, I'll just go up to a girl, unless she's, like, frightened by my even if I say hello and she's frightened to death, I probably won't be like, I want to fuck you, obviously, for a lot of reasons.
Well, I always tell guys, you don't necessarily have to use, erotically explicit language or X-rated language. I do. But a lot of guys don't. I mean, there's ways you can use PG-13.
I've used it.
But, okay, so you say 80% of the time over the last 5 years you've been direct. And so 20% of the time you've been indirect.
Yeah.
And, okay.
Given the situation.
Why do you like direct over indirect, and why do you like the times when you've been indirect, why do you like indirect over direct?
Here's what happens. We can assume that there's, everyone's brought up differently with different values. Some are religious, all this stuff. If you go up direct to a lot of girls, I feel it cuts the bullshit, honestly. And
you feel what?
It cuts the bullshit.
Okay.
So when you go up direct, I totally agree with you. I'm an advocate of direct game. But the fact of the matter is, when you go up and you say this stuff to a woman, it really divides out guys. Like, they feel like, oh, he's a player. This is what he wants. And I guess it could be termed that way because, as you said,
so you're
that's
scared
what I
of being
want.
Perceived as a player?
No,
Alan, I want
to
ask something.
Not really. I mean,
guy.
I just feel like the casualness of the sex. There's nothing wrong with it, obviously. But that comes with the player word. That's what player means. Oh, someone who wants casualness. from that.
Alan, can I ask him something?
Sure, go ahead, Balarco.
Man, Michael, let me ask you, why the fuck do you care what others are thinking?
Who would be the other people?
Like, you are saying, like, it creates an image that's just clear and whatever.
No, I mean, obviously, it's not about what others are thinking. I definitely feel like in order, like, you know, Justin was talking about social conditioning. It's essentially the idea that females are raised, you know, from a really young age to know what sex is and all this stuff. And, you know, they're raised to think of it, oh, it's like a value you give, you know, hold on to it. Because when you give it away, the concept is, I've talked to a lot of girls who tie sex to respect. And they're like, if I have sex with a guy, like, he may not respect me. I only have sex with him when he respects me. And I don't know if that even makes any sense. I can't really get into that. But, no, obviously, for me, it's about, obviously, it's the sex. But, I mean, there needs to be, like, even when you go of direct intent, it can really divide you out with a lot of people. Because, you know,
I
feel
like...
What does
it mean, divide you out? I don't understand what that means.
Here's what happens. When you go with direct intent, I feel like there are many people willing to have the casualness of it without, you know, the player. But the thing is, they like a little subtlety, a little discretion. Not obviously, if you go up to like 100 people, say, want to fuck.
But this relates to Balarco's question. You said they like. What about what you like? Are you worried more about what women like in your approach, or are you worried about what you like in your approach?
I feel like as a human being, like, I've done crazy shit, guys. Like, I've literally went up to, like, girls and just said the most vulgar, outrageous stuff before. And the worst part is when you actually get success from that. That's the weird part first with some women. And then you find out a majority of the time it's a really random numbers game. You're right. I really understand where you're coming from. You're saying you should express yourself the way you want to, which is not giving a fuck and telling them straight up you want sex, right? But obviously, like, I feel like that's definitely, for me, empty sex isn't, that's not just what it's about. I like to get to know this person on some level.
So you want meaningful sex?
Yeah, I mean, essentially in a reasonable time frame, a lot of the people on the chat room were like, well, if you want to, like, if you want a relationship.
So you want a relationship with a woman. You don't want casual sex.
Well, I don't think the two have to be mutually exclusive. You could
so
have,
you want
a, like, a meaningful
short-term sex.
In a way, but I feel like you won't ever know. It could develop into a long-term thing. I don't go in thinking, okay, with this woman, it'll be short-term. With this woman, it'll be long-term. With her, it'll be short-term. With her, it'll be long-term. You don't know.
I do.
You just live.
Initially, anyway. Now, there's times when I'm flexible and I might change as we progress, but initially, and see, that's why I guess I'm different. I'm not saying you should be like me, but I'm because I hear a lot of people say, well, and I don't know. I'm not sure when I approach a woman. I always know when I approach a woman what I want. I always know at that time. Now, again, as I was telling Justin, sometimes my desires may change. Like, say, one week I might say I just want a weekend fling, and then I might connect with this woman so well that I say, okay, I want it to keep going longer. But at the time I approach a woman, I know if I just want, say, a one-night stand or a weekend fling or 6 weeks of casual sex or a long-term relationship.
Yeah.
90% of the time, I know exactly what I want at the
time.
I approach a woman. And I just don't understand. But
yeah.
It seems like you kind of...
I personally
I feel like in some of your answers you kind of contradict yourself. You're saying you want a meaning, you want sex to be meaningful, but in the same breath you said, but yeah, I still want it to be casual. To me, that's like an oxymoron. For me, meaningful casual sex is an oxymoron for Alan Roger Curry. Maybe not for other people, but for me.
Because the reason
I want casual sex is I want sex just for the gratification of enjoying a woman's body. I'm not trying to build no emotional connection with her. I don't want us to be boyfriend, girlfriend. I want her to know that we're just fucking to have experience orgasms and to satisfy us when we're horny. If I want something beyond that, then I look at that as more of relationship material.
When I go in, I'll be really honest, I don't know what I want. So,
but you say you become depressed though after you have. I see that this is throwing me off because meaningful sex, but yet most of these women that you've had sex with, you said 30 women in 18 months, and you said that left you depressed and disappointed because
right.
these women were beneath your standards. Why were they beneath your standards?
I feel like, yeah, so a lot of people were asking, you know, what do you think are beneath your standards? And it's obviously like, I feel like people are different and you don't know. I personally did not, I don't have like a list that, oh, she has to do this and this and this. For me, it's just like there's certain situations, certain conversational exchanges. I mean, I can really go into it. But then you find out, oh, maybe this person isn't for me. And a lot of people are like, well, wouldn't you know before you had sex? And I'm like, not really, because immortality is not a luxury. I don't get to live 999 years to be able to
know. I don't even know what that means, dude. What does that mean?
Like you won't really know, like, essentially who's, like, until it just follows a natural course after a couple of months. You won't know who's to your standards, who's not. That's why I just... Pretty much, that's what I'm doing. I'm mass approaching right now, multiple mass approaching women.
You're mass approaching. And why are you mass approaching if it leaves you depressed?
It's not the actual, exactly. So Justin Wynn himself doesn't mass approach. That's the thing. He doesn't mass
approach.
Okay,
Justin's back. Michael, I'm going to quiet you right now. Justin, you back with us?
What's going on?
Okay, I see we dropped. Sorry, we lost you for a while. Okay, now, Belarco had asked you about approaching women directly. I think you gave your reasons for direct versus indirect. What was your second question, Belarco?
My second question was, like Justin talked about building connection, and I particularly believe that when two people are upfront and straightforward and their intentions match, connections get built automatically. Why do we need to build connections? Because whenever I tried to build connections, I ended up wasting my time. I was like, shit, man, that was bullshit.
All right, cool. I remember the question very well. And first of all, just so you know, the connection I'm talking about is a romantic connection in the context of a stranger approach and day game, okay? So, number one, I know a lot of naturals. I know I've grown up around a lot of naturals. My uncle was a really cute womanizer, right?
What's your definition of a natural?
I would say guys who do very well with women. Very simple. And whether it's because they're rich already, whether it's because for whatever myriad of reasons, they're really good with women. They generally have multiple relationships, X, Y, Z, right? So I've known a lot of naturals. And most people, it's not normal to approach people on the street and actually get a result from meat to sex. It's not a normal phenomenon. That being said, it's hard to naturally create a connection with someone you just met on the street that leads to sex. So the romantic connection, what I'm talking about is not, and let's say most people meet people through social circles. Rule number one. I think we all agree to that. At some kind of cool social event. Most couples meet via social circles in general, right? Most beautiful women, attractive women, if you ask them how they met the boyfriend, they'll tell you most likely, 99% of the times, through some form of social circle. Something from a friend, through school, through work. So social circle is pretty much like 10 times easier than strangers approaching. So in the context of social circle, I agree with you, Bellagio, I think your name is. I agree with you because in social circle settings, sure, you know, you should be able to talk to a girl, and if you guys connect, you guys connect. If you don't, you don't. But that's a different context. It's a natural context. Where stranger approaching is not normal. It's not a normal thing that people do. Therefore, it requires a certain level of competency that's beyond the norm. Therefore, you have to then be prepared for that. We didn't grow up approaching strangers. That's not the way we're designed. That's not the way we're socially designed. I mean, you know, I think it's really, you know, really obvious. So the romantic connection I'm creating with these girls is a pathway. The dominant effect is a structure of certain physical landmarks that has to happen to create what you call a romantic connection with the girl or to help it or to help to reach there. Now, it doesn't always guarantee that you will get a romantic connection, but there's a lot of times when you possibly can, but you just don't know the direction to go because you have a very short time, very little amount of time, and, you know, and whatever you say can be used against your overall game. Now, Alan Rogers.
Hey, Justin, let me. I'm gonna let you finish when we come back.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take my last intermission break. Before I do that, I want to give shout outs for those users that are my chat room. I got Aaron2213 in my chat room. And who else? I got Aaron2213. I got Apple Capital Group in my chat room. I got Balarco, who's on the line with me, in my chat room. I got Black Man USA. I got Christian Davis. I got DX Boy. DX Boy. I got Fly Tie in my chat room. I got a number of guests. I got Love and Light. I wonder if Love and Light stirring up some trouble. Because Love and Light, she always come in my chat room and stirring up trouble with her bad self. I got Mark Robinson in my chat room. I got Michael, who's on the line, a fan of Justin Wayne. She's in my chat room. I got Mystical. Mystical, what's up, Mystical? He's in my chat room. I got in New York City, Joe Cool in my chat room. And I got Recon One in my chat room, Recon One. This is going to be my final intermission, and when I get back, I'm going to have more conversation with Justin Wayne, my guest for the evening. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back in about 4 to 5 minutes.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavored Too, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Low One fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Low One.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It's over 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay. There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindset is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that's, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
Just so the listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that, yeah.
Oh, man, you gotta love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me.
I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my interview with New York City pickup artist Justin Wayne on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. This is my fourth to last episode of the 2011-2012 season. After tonight, I only have three more episodes before I go on a roughly a two-month hiatus. I always go on hiatus from roughly mid-July to until mid to late September. After tonight, what we're talking about tonight, I'm interviewing a guy who has gained popularity as a pickup artist in New York City. He goes by the name Justin Wayne, and we have been talking about how he goes about pursuing women and approaching women on the street and the skill set he feels like men need to have. And he's had a fan of his that's been on the line, Michael, who's a big fan of Justin Wayne. Now, Michael, you said something in the chat room I totally disagree with. Totally. So you know you're about to get blasted.
Wait, hold on, Alan,
that any woman can be manipulated?
Yeah, Alan, hold on for 1 second. Alan, wait. I was trying to say something right before the break.
Yeah, Justin, complete your thought. You were talking before I went to break.
Right?
So, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Justin. Finish your thought.
All right, cool. So basically, long story short is this, right? I just wanted to answer that guy's question. He was talking about the connection thing, and he said that connecting should be natural, and it shouldn't be something that has to be like a structure, so to speak, right? And I agree with the ideal, right? But in my mind, again, like my main quote is that, you know, for me, ideals are cool, but ideals don't always mean it's right or it actually works all the time. An ideal is a way that someone thinks it ought to be. So in reality, sure, we should connect. We should just be able to connect just like that. But if that was the case, then I want someone to explain to me why, if connecting is natural, it's supposed to be natural, and anything's a numbers game, if a girl either likes you or she doesn't, then why was I and other people I know been able to increase the percentages or the ratios of going out and meeting attractive women, right? If it was only just like, if she likes, she likes you. If she doesn't, she doesn't. Right.
Well, I can give you one answer, and this relates to what I was going to criticize Michael on. One answer I would offer would be manipulation. Let's say this. Let's say I'm in a room with 10 women, and I'm interested in having casual sex with all 10 of those women, right? But let's say 8 out of those 10 women in that room want to only engage in sex within the context of a long-term monogamous relationship that's going to lead to marriage, okay?
Yeah.
If I was to go up to all 10 women and tell them that I just wanted to fuck them, I'm pretty much guaranteed that 8 of those 10 women are going to reject me, and 2 of those 10 women are going to reciprocate my interest. But if I wanted to increase, as you talked about improving your numbers, if I wanted to improve my numbers, if that was my objective, what I would simply do is with those 8 women who are not interested in casual sex, I would pretend for a temporary period or an indefinite period that I was interested in a long-term monogamous relationship too, until I fuck them 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 times. And then once I fuck them, then I'll say, you know what, I'm really not feeling this relationship. I got to go. I had a guy at a direct summit that me and him got into. I'm not going to say his name. He's a pretty popular pickup artist, though, international.
Yeah.
But this is what me and him got into it. He was teaching guys to do just what I described. He was teaching guys to meet women, build rapport with them, develop an emotional connection with them, and basically make those women think that you're going to become their next boyfriend. But then once you get the pussy, once you fuck them 2 times, 5 times, 10 times, 50 times, he said, then that's when you give them a reason why you can't continue the relationship and you need to end it, or you just simply tell them that you weren't really looking for a relationship in the first place after the fact. And I was like, man, that's the most fucked up piece of advice I've ever heard. That is so fucking... Now, I'm not going to say it don't work. If pussy is your objective, I ain't going to lie, that technique works.
Yeah,
if,
but that
if you're the type
has...
of guy where the end justifies the means, but in terms of ethics... In terms of just pure ethics, that is fucked up, man, to make women think that you want a long-term monogamous relationship when you know you just want some ass. My thing, and this is where the whole mode one approach comes from, I believe if you just want some ass, you tell a woman you just want some ass. If you want a one-night stand, you tell a woman you want a one-night stand. If you want a weekend fling, you tell a woman you want a weekend fling. If you want 6 weeks of casual sex, you tell a woman you want 6 weeks of casual sex. Anything else is game plan. And you can always get some women, some naive, inexperienced women in bed by playing manipulative head games. So, again, I'm not saying that indirect manipulative head games don't work in terms of getting you some pussy. Of course, lying to a woman and misleading a woman can get you some pussy. But the question you got to look in the mirror and ask yourself is that shit right, though? Would you want somebody doing your sister like that? Would you want somebody doing your mother like that? Would you want somebody doing your daughter like that?
Yeah, yeah, Alan.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, what you're saying here basically has nothing, I mean, I appreciate your rant, but it has nothing to do with me personally or what I'm teaching personally. It has to do with that whatever, that, whoever that guy was. I don't know who that guy was. You probably don't want to mention who he is. But I'm not advocating that either at all. I'm not advocating that. Actually, as a matter of fact, the word manipulation is a tricky thing here, right? Because sometimes if I speak to a woman, sometimes she herself wants to talk about certain things to get to know me, right? Now, sure, I do what you call progressive flirting, right? Progressive basically means that, you know, I'm not talking to her indirectly for a long time and then all of a sudden trying to go direct. Like, there is some undertone that gets louder and louder and louder as we speak. And I think that's a great way to do this, right? It's not manipulative either. It's just giving her time sometimes just to, like, be herself a little bit more as we talk, but I'm still gradually turning up the volume. So, and if you ever look at my infield videos or whatever, you'll notice that there's not that much manipulation at all. I'm pretty straightforward in general with my intent. It's just that, you know, in some cases, like they could call the pretenders, the girl with pretenders, you know, let's say if I go direct, you know, if I approach directly, she still might want to talk about, oh, so where you're from? So what do you do? Even though I approach her and said, hey, I like you, and I want to meet you, you know, if a girl's interested, she's not going to say, oh, I like you too, I want to fuck too. That normally doesn't happen. What they would do is passively accept it, right? They would just not walk away, but continue talking to me, right?
Wait. Hey, Justin, I'm sorry for being rude.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to cut you off. Because Michael was saying something in the chat room, and I know you're tired of me blasting Michael. I'm going to get right back to you.
Yeah.
But, Michael, dude, come on, man.
Justin,
you're being full of shit in the chat room, dog. You just told me early in this conversation you slept with 30 women in 18 months, and you telling me you don't just want sex? Man, come on. What the fuck is that? How are you sleeping with 30 women, and you going to sit here in the chat room and say you're not looking for just sex? Dude, you know how crazy that sounds?
No, I actually admitted I guess I don't necessarily know exactly what I'm looking for. I did admit that earlier. But I mean, to say it.
You're telling me with
only...
these 30 women, you didn't know what the fuck you wanted.
I mean,
you're telling
no, I mean,
me with these 30 women, you didn't know what the fuck you wanted when you approached them.
No, I knew.
Come
when
on,
I
man.
Them.
Come on.
When
you
I
gotta keep it real on my show, dude. I can't let you get away with that type of bullshit, man. That's some
when
bullshit.
I approached, yes. When I approached, yes. But obviously, like, it's not in the long scale term of things. If it goes to that, I don't know what I necessarily want.
Yeah.
But yes, when I approached,
okay. Okay. All right. Okay, back to you, Justin. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Justin, you there?
Yeah. No, so, first of all, I don't necessarily condone, I mean, I don't know, Michael, you know, I never met Michael personally. I don't think I've met him personally. Have I met you personally, Michael?
Oh, his mic is muted right now.
Oh, okay, no problem. But anyway, yeah, so basically, yeah, this whole thing about manipulation is questionable. Even people do question this thing, and that's the problem with being associated with pickup or the pickup community. And I really disagree with the idea of telling girls lies and then bashing them, because a woman, it's like they said before, they say a woman's scorn is like, you know, something from hell. I don't remember the exact term.
Oh, yeah, hell hath no fury like a woman's scorn, and that's what I tell men all the time, man, because I'm speaking of the direct dating summit I did in mid-March. I told some of the guys the stories I know of guys. That's why I personally, and again, I always tell guys, I don't obligate guys to follow all of my principles. I don't force feed my principles down nobody's throat. If people want my principles, I give it to them. If not, so be it. I'll give you one example, if you don't mind me telling this quick story. There was a guy in Las Vegas for the Direct Dating Summit. He initially made the comment. He said, Alan, I heard about your book. I haven't really read it, but I browsed through it. He said, the difference between me and you, man, is you got ethics when it comes to the pursuit of pussy. He said, man, I have no ethics. He said, I said, you have no ethics. He said, no, I have no ethics. I said, really? He said, really? So I said, okay, man, why don't me and you go out this afternoon and find a 14-year-old chick so we can both run a train on? And he was like, 14 years old? Man, I wouldn't fuck no 14-year-old chick. I said, why not? He said, oh, man, come on, man. That's degrading. I said, you said you didn't have no ethics when it came to pursuing pussy. He said, well, okay, I guess I got ethics when it comes to age. I said, okay, well, what if she's 21 years of age older? Why don't you talk to her and distract her while I go in and put a date rape drug in her drink, and then me and you can fuck? He said, oh, man, I wouldn't want to put no date rape in a woman's drink. I said, why not? You want to fuck her, don't you? Ain't fucking the most important thing? Ain't the end justifies the means? He said, well, I ain't trying to get in bed like that. I said, why? Because you got ethics? And I gave a couple more examples. All that to say that when the conversation was over and guys start walking away from the table looking at him like, dude, you just lost credibility, he started off very strongly saying, I don't have no ethics when it comes to getting laid and getting pussy. But every example I gave, he ended up admitting he does. I mean, everybody has some degree of ethics. And so that's number one. Every guy has some degree. They might not have the exact ethics as me, but every guy has something they won't do to get some pussy. My second point is related to what we was just talking about lying to women and shit and the karma. Man, I've seen situations, dude, where motherfuckers got fucked up. In the worst case now, I know a couple guys that literally are not living right now. I know a friend of my cousin's. This chick came and just shot him in the head because he was lying to her.
He was making her think that
she was his serious girlfriend when he was really fucking a bunch of bitches. She came and shot his ass, dude.
Yeah, no, I've seen a lot of situations like that as well, by the way. And even in my younger days, I've experienced something similar to that almost happening to me. So ever since then, you know, I've been very careful about the way the messages I'm giving to these girls, you know, that I deal with.
Somebody asked me in the message room. They said, chat room.
Yeah.
They asked me to ask you, what do you have a racial preference? Do you just approach any women of any race, or have most of your women been white women, and most of them been black women, and most of them been Asian women?
That's a good question. I generally speaking, when it comes to just having romantic partners, I have different seasons. Some days I'm more into, you know, say a black girl. Some days I'm more into Asian women. Some days I'm, it just depends on the girl. So I guess there's no strong preference. However, a lot of my my videos or whatever have mostly white women. So people tend to believe that I'm all about white women, and that's not the case at all. It's just that there's a lot more white women in certain areas where I practice, just, you know, in Manhattan, right? So let's say if I'm out and, you know, I'm having a good time, you know, there's got to be a lot more white women to begin with.
Man, Manhattan got some big-ass blocks, man.
Yeah.
Woo! Man, that's some of the biggest blocks I've seen of any city in my life.
It's exhausting. It's exhausting, man. It's exhausting. You know, walk through all those, especially the Avenue blocks are the longest ones.
I mean, listeners, if you've never been in New York City, man, particularly Manhattan, I say there's one city block in Manhattan is like two or three in any normal city. Them some big-ass blocks, man.
Yeah.
Hey, I got some phone callers that probably want to ask you some questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
Somebody from your neck of the woods, 347-347, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, my guest, Justin Wayne. What's your question or comment? 347-538? Hello?
Yes, sir.
What's happening?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, this is Joe Cool from New York, brother. How's everything?
What's up, Joe Cool? You sound like your name, man. You sound like you're just a cool motherfucker, man.
I've been a big fan of yours for the last few years, so I just want to chop it up with you right quick, man, and just say that.
Hello? Hello? Did I lose you? Hello? Joe Cool, you still there? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? I think I lost Joe. Sorry, Joe, your phone must have dropped or something, because I'm not hearing,
well,
I'm not hearing anything.
Five on mute.
No, it's not on mute. I got his mic. I'm just not hearing anything. It's weird. Okay, I'm going to go. I'm gonna try to come back to Joe Cool a little later. 917, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment? 917.
917-699.
Yep.
Okay. My name is Manny, and I just want to say I'm a huge fan of Justin Wayne. And two years ago, I sucked with women. I had no idea how to approach women. I had the look, I had the eyes, I had the hair, but I literally had no idea what to do. I was never comfortable in my own skin, and I actually I was literally at a breaking point where I wanted pussy, and I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to go for it.
Okay.
So finally, I found his blog. I found what I had to do, and I really have to work hard on myself. I have to unlearn some really bad habits to fucking man up.
Okay, give me 2 to 3 specific examples of bad habits you had previously that Justin Wayne helped you get rid of.
First of all, me being comfortable in my own skin. So, for instance, I was not comfortable being weird. Like, it's weird.
You were not comfortable being what?
Approach. Weird. As in, like, for instance,
weird?
When you approach someone weird, like, it's not normal to approach a girl on the street. Just as he says, it's not weird. I mean, it's not normal. I had to
weird
things.
I don't know if I can 100% agree with that. I heard Justin say that and Michael say that. I kind of would, like, half agree and half disagree. To me, normal is very subjective.
Yeah.
It depends on your own experience. For example, a lot of people used to say Michael Jackson was weird. You know, they used to say, oh, Michael Jackson, he's weird. But he had a good comeback in an interview one time. He said, because he knew people thought he was weird. He said, in my life, all my experiences are normal to me. He said, for me, getting on stage in front of 50,000 people,
actually,
that's normal to me.
Girl,
You said what?
When you see an attractive girl on the street, okay, a lot of guys are going to normally, like, either approach her and be like, yo, you are really hot. Oh, you're really cute. That's obviously you're setting yourself up for rejection, okay? I had to learn how to be comfortable with rejection because I had that fear of rejection, and he helped me.
Okay, fear of rejection. Okay,
yeah.
So wait. Let's stick with your first bad habit you said was feeling you were not feeling comfortable in your own skin because you felt like you were weird.
No, I felt like the whole act of actually approaching, I felt weird. Like,
you
as
felt
in,
like approaching women was weird.
Like as in approaching women, approaching. I had this huge fear about what people think of me. So like if I approached a girl on the street, I would not only fear what the girl thinks, but I would fear about that people would be watching me. It's a weird thing from another person's perspective to actually.
Well, I can understand that. That's what I deal with a lot of my clients is helping them get over worrying about
not
what other people think.
Fuck.
So you were generally worried about what other people thought of you.
Exactly.
Okay, that was habit number one. What's the number two specific habit that you used to have that you no longer have?
Me being direct. I didn't know how to actually tell a woman and state my intentions. He really drilled that in me. And yet he showed me how to progressively flirt and how to actually kind of build it up. So first,
okay, what does it mean to progressively flirt?
So after, let's say you do approach a girl, okay, you say, look, I just have to stop you for like a minute. I thought you had this really interesting vibe, and I wanted to find out who you were. So who are you? And then, you know, you meet her. You actually literally are. You state your intentions. And then from there on, you start to build comfort. You start to talk normal. You get to know each other. Then you slowly flirt. There are different actually levels in his model that actually
give me
really
an example of
flirt.
Something you would say when you're in flirt mode.
When I'm in flirt mode, so like let's say like the girl's like, I'm from like Dominican Republic. I'm like, no way. I'm like totally falling in love with you. I'm not actually falling in love with her, but it's slowly starting to state my intent. You know what I'm saying? It's like then like for instance like there'd even be like you know then you start talking normal again, and then it's like you know you talk about something like, oh shoot, you turn around for like 2 seconds, I just have to see, wow, you're a really cute butt. You know, you must get that a lot, right? Like it's kind of like coming like you're slowly kind of building it up. You're so slowly sparking that emotion. So because the amount of flakes I got are ridiculous. Like I mean I've gotten like 3 or 4 girls' number these past week, and I got so many flakes because the emotions aren't sparked. Even if I say, hey, I want to fuck you, I want to get in your pants, it's still not going to work like that. Even if she's receptive at that moment, like she like you guys have to be on the same page within that interaction, and she needs to remember it. Wow, I had this great interaction with this great guy, and I want to see him again. As opposed to having a normal interaction with a guy on the street and just, like, not, like, going anywhere. It's just,
I know I've been disagreeing with a lot of things said, but that's just how I am. And I'm not saying what has worked for you has worked. But I have to disagree with something you just said. I've had women, I haven't gotten along with every woman I fucked. And I noticed that some people who come on my show, not just tonight, but on other nights, they have this impression that you have to almost have like a quote-unquote friendly interaction. I've had women, most people know me, know my history. I've had women curse me out, say, on Wednesday. I mean, I'm talking about they like, Alan, you are an asshole. You are an egotistical jerk. You have no manners. You are a motherfucking jerk. And then on Friday, that same woman was on her knees sucking my dick. I'm serious.
That's awesome.
I don't believe that. I'm not saying you should ever purposely, and I tell guys this all the time, you should never purposely try to be a jerk with women or
Never be a dick,
When you're truthful, when you're bold, truthful, and straightforward, it's almost inevitable that some women are going to think you're a jerk or an asshole. But I don't give a fuck about that because I probably, in my lifetime, and this is real truth, I probably fuck more women that have criticized me, some aspect about my behavior, than I have women who had nothing but good things. As a matter of fact, if you were to read my book, my one, I say that. The women I actually worry about is the women who have nothing bad to say about me. Because those are the women that's the smallest percentage of women that I've fucked, is the women who say, oh, Ellie, you're so sweet, you're a nice guy, you're a great guy, oh, you're so sweet. them the women. I don't want to harp on that, but I just had to disagree with that point that you. But we're talking about you, so you said I was asking you name 2 to 3 habits, bad habits that you used to have that you no longer have. You said the first one, you used to worry about what other people think. Now you really don't. Second, you had a fear of stating your intentions in a direct manner. Give me one more. What's a one more habit that you used to have, bad habit you used to have that you now no longer have?
Physical escalation, I would say.
Physically
escalating. Like, as opposed to even stating my intentions verbally on a physical level, actually showing my intentions. Like, basically saying, like we have something, like Justin teaches something about called mutual handholding. So now this is talking only about street games. If, for instance, if you have a great interaction with a girl and you even get her number, you hug and you say goodbye, but you're not actually holding her hand, you're not giving her kind of a friendly hug, you're not, you know, like really, really sparking that emotion, like you're pretty much, all you pretty much had that day was just an interaction with the phone number closed. But he actually taught me he drilled it in me on how to actually, you know, it's okay to once you're in a conversation and once you're in interaction, you can actually try to hold a girl's hand, see what happens. You know, you have to actually really, like, you got to force yourself to do these things, because then they become subconsciously installed in your mind. Like, I know guys who really need help with women. From what you're saying, I mean, like, they're, like, when you talk about it being like you know, you, like, you state your intentions, you tell the girls what you say, the girls criticize you. I don't give a fuck if girls criticize me. I want to be truthful also, and I'll state my intentions and at the same time. But the question is, how do you get to that point when you come from an upbringing where you were installed, like, where you had this mindset where your parents installed in you, as in, don't talk to strangers, be very good, be very proper, because a lot of good people that I grew up with, they don't just plainly know how to talk to women, and their egos are too up beyond their head, and they'll laugh at the other person who gets rejected, as opposed to actually, you know, do it themselves. I know that was a lot said for the third thing.
Well, no, there's a lot of stuff you said I actually agree with, because this is where I would say you and I, or I should say, since you learned from Justin and I are similar. One of my biggest things, and what I teach guys, definitely that first one you talked about, is I help men get over the fear of other people's opinions and the fear of other people's criticisms. You know, you can never, ever really be successful women if you're afraid of these two things. If you're afraid of rejection and you're afraid of harsh criticism.
Right.
Now, to me, those are
the
first two things you have to overcome if you ever want to be successful with women.
There's one more thing, actually, that's really important that I'm in the process of getting over right now. And just sorry to cut you off there, but it's approval seeking also. Because if I were to have an interaction, approval seeking.
Hey, what?
Approval seeking.
Approval seeking. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the third thing I'm in the process of, and I'm still coaching with him, and I'm still working it out on how to remove that type of behavior, because when I'm in the interaction, I may come off a little too try-hardish. I may just try hard. They maybe just wanted to get the approval seeking, and that sometimes, and that he's really, really drilling it in me, and I already feel myself doing better, and I'm feeling even more comfortable doing what I want to do when I want to do it. But go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm glad to know that you've had some bad habits, and Justin has helped you overcome those habits. Now, do you feel like the success you've been having with women? Well, let me ask you, because there was an earlier caller, Michael. He was saying that even though he slept with some women, he was feeling depressed. Have you ever felt depressed after having sex with women?
Well, right now I am having sex with one woman. I am still looking to hook up with other girls at the same time. I mean, mind you, there are a lot of bad habits I had that took time to get over. But this girl, the way I met her, I approached her.
You didn't answer my question.
Oh, what was it? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I guess you just simply, have you ever slept with a woman, had sex with a woman, and immediately afterwards you felt depressed?
It did happen once. Early in January, I slept with a woman that was not too attractive. She was in the middle, kind
okay,
of...
Okay, why did you sleep with a woman you weren't attracted to?
Well, I would have to say because it's kind of like I wanted to know that I had the ability to do it because I literally had no success prior to that.
So
and
you used this woman's body to see if you could practice getting a woman in bed?
Pretty much, yeah. And she and we
that's
didn't speak
fucked
afterwards.
Up, man. What was your first name again?
Manny.
Danny? Dude,
Manny,
I gotta
Manny.
Tell you, man. You see, you were flowing well, but now I gotta put you in Michael's category, man.
That's
just my opinion. We all have our opinions. That's fucked up, man.
Though.
Using this babe is just to me. I guess where I'm disagreeing with that, man. I don't believe a man should ever, and I mean ever, approach a woman that he's not attracted to. I've never approached a woman that I wasn't attracted to. There's some women I've been attracted to more than others, but every woman I've approached to one degree or another, I was attracted to them. I ain't never approached a woman and fucked a woman and then right afterwards said, damn, why did I fuck her? Damn, I wish I wouldn't have fucked her. I would never sleep with a woman that I'm going to feel that type
of regret.
Understand.
I totally understand. And she was actually semi-like she was average. And when I met her, we met at a night lounge. We had a couple drinks. We didn't hook up that night. We met up that day later. And let me tell you what happened real quick before you continue.
Okay. Go ahead.
I went to her place. We smoked a little weed. You know, we had sex or whatever. We spoke to each other after, and I was just kind of looking like, okay, you know, maybe this can go somewhere, maybe this won't. So after, I still wasn't sure because, like I said, at that time I still was not as comfortable. I mean, I did sleep with her. I didn't find her too attractive, but I pretty much stated my intention. If she was okay with it, then great. If she would like to continue, then great. If not, nice meeting you. Basically, she did. After we had sex that first time, I texted her a couple days later. She did not text me back, and then it was done with. So it's not like, oh, I broke her heart or anything like that. It's, you know, I mean, in my opinion, women just want sex just as much as men. But
I agree with that.
Yeah, and if she wanted to continue to see me, great. If not, it's all good. But the intention is clearly there. I'm not
Have you ever given
her,
a woman the impression that you wanted a long-term monogamous relationship when you knew deep down you really just wanted casual sex?
Well, honestly, at that point, I didn't know what I wanted. I did.
I hear you and Michael
that.
Go again with this. I don't know what I want stuff. What's with all this indecisiveness, man? What did you and Michael have?
This is what happens.
I don't understand that, dude.
It's hard to, man. It's hard. It's hard to. Like,
oh,
I
can't relate to that,
though,
man. I guess y'all just different from me, man. I can't relate to that, man.
Right now, I have a clear idea exactly what I want.
You know what I compare that to, and this might not be the right analogy, but I almost look at that like you going in the grocery store and you saying, damn, I'm hungry, but I don't know what I want. And what you would end up doing is you would go down each aisle not putting anything in the basket because you really don't know what you want. You're like, damn, I want something sweet, but I don't know what I want sweet.
Unless I smoke
damn.
A joint, then I know exactly what I want.
Okay. I mean, when I go to the grocery store,
Alan,
I know what I
Alan.
Want.
Alan, I think I know what the problem is, right? This
What's
is
the problem?
Problem? The problem is that what these guys are experiencing is their first set of successes sometimes are with girls that are at the margin of choice for them, okay? The margin of choice. So maybe I don't think these – I mean, Manny and Michael, I want to ask you, were these girls like – were you completely like not attracted to them?
No, there was a little bit of very little attraction.
Okay, cool. So obviously, like, you know, those particular girls we call the margin of choice girls, where maybe it's just very right in the middle. So maybe at one day you don't mind having sex with her, you know. And the truth is, Alan, a lot of guys would have sex with girls that they're not that attracted to in general. In terms of, you know, a lot of guys would say, oh, she's not that hot, but I'm still having sex with her and whatever. So that's actually kind of a normal thing. In general, now it's not that the guys are disgusted by these girls. That's a different situation. But there's girls you're disgusted by. There's girls that you don't really want to be in a long-term relationship with. But she's not like a wifey.
You know now, if you're
but,
talking about and, that, I've experienced that. Now, if you're talking about a situation where you meet a woman and you're not in any way, shape, or form wanting to be with her in a long-term monogamous relationship, you just want to say.
Yeah.
A one-night stand, a weekend fling. Yeah,
yeah,
I've experienced that. multiple times.
What I'm saying is
I've never had a situation, though, where I had sex with a woman and within, say, 24 hours after I had sex with that woman, I felt either depressed or regretful. I don't think I've ever experienced that.
So this is the thing, though. Okay, so I agree with you here, and this is what happened, though, for these guys. Well, I think what Michael's trying to say, I'm not too sure, but this is what I think has happened to a lot of these guys who first start off by, you know, going after the girls that are on the margin of choice. Now, the margin of choice basically means they're not too sure when they meet the girl. She's not that attractive to them, but she's still okay enough to have sex with, you know, but it's not necessarily a girl that makes his heart go, wow. But still, she's still not ugly either. She's still just in between.
Again, I've had sex with women that make me, my heart flutter or make me go, wow. But again, I still wasn't depressed.
Yeah,
like Michael specifically said, he's been depressed after he's had sex with women.
I've never been depressed
after I had sex with a woman.
You know,
now, I would be depressed.
I
if I had sex with a woman that I wasn't really attracted to and say she ended up pregnant or she ended up giving me an STD, those would be two situations where I could think of where I would be depressed.
Like,
I would never want to get a woman...
Like antidepressants after having sex with a girl.
I would never want to get a woman pregnant that I wasn't really attracted to, and I would never want to catch an STD from any woman, whether I'm attracted to a lot or not. But other than those two situations, I can't think of a situation where I've ever been where I was like, damn, man, I feel depressed that I slept with that chick.
Yeah, I understand, Alan. I understand what you're saying. This is what Michael was saying. This is what I think many are saying, and some of these guys. Right? What they're trying to say is this, right? So let's say in a situation. Let's say if he approaches a girl that he's not that into, but I mean, she's still into it enough to have sex with her, right? She's in that margin of choice. Now, I don't think he feels disgusted after having sex with that particular girl. It's just that, let's say if he goes out and does a mass approaching now, and all the girls he gets are the girls that he didn't really, 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 really want, but they're still okay enough to have sex with, that's where the depression can start hitting as well, because you're playing a huge numbers game, they're not getting that much success, and the very few successes they're getting are with girls that are not necessarily the dream girl that was advertised to them and the community started, or the type of girl that really makes the blood boil. So
y'all confusing me, man.
Come on,
that's just very confusing to me. Hey, I got another caller. I guess this is one of those Vonage type accounts because it's area code 111. You know,
okay.
Upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest Justin Wayne. Who's this?
Yeah, hi, this is Mr. Solution. Good evening, gentlemen.
Mr. Solution, what's happening, man?
Right, I'm glad I flew in on this. First of all, women, we always have a truncated conversation. It's a one-sided or incomplete conversation about the relationship between men and women. First of all, although I wouldn't do it myself, I would never criticize a man for whatever tactic he uses for getting a woman in bed, whether he lies to her, tells her he's this and he's not that, because men are working for the sex. Women are not.
Men are working for what?
Men are working for the sex. In other words, men are taking all the risk. Men are doing all the work. And when we talk about rejection.
So wait a minute, Mr. Solution, let me stop you. You saying right now on my show that it's okay for a man to lie to women to get them in bed.
I'm telling you that in the game that's being played out there in the streets and wherever men and women meet, women are playing a game. They are the original game players. Most of us are just not sophisticated. Well, I know you are, Alan. Let me just say this. But most people are not sophisticated enough to ferret out the game that women are playing. Number one, the game is they don't initiate. That's game number one. And that's a huge game right there. So now Stanley has said this, and, you know, in Stanley's meandering, he makes some good points, and I listen to you all. But he points out, and I agree, that men are doing the work. Women are not doing the work. Women are just exercising what we call veto power. The other thing, women are never victims. Women like sex as much as men. So whatever men do, now I'm not saying use violence, but whatever chicanery, trickery, ruses, and what have you, it's all fair play because women are playing a game too.
Yeah.
And also understand, thank you, also understand this, Women select men based solely on sex. When a woman accepts a man, it's because he makes her, as one feminist woman said, he makes her, he makes the coochie wet. Okay? So
okay.
If a man is able to make her coochie wet, however he makes it wet, then I say more power to him, because we are playing a game. It's a game of winner take all. I didn't create the game. I'm just calling it as the umpire. The other thing is that the biggest criticism that women will have for a man is you're not getting any pussy.
Yes.
You don't have a woman. So therefore, anything a man does, and this is in women's judgment, anything he does to get sex or get a woman is A-OK. Because generally, and what you, I'm just saying, when you guys, when men and women are talking, particularly black men and women, one of the first thing the black women will say, well, you're not getting any coochie. So therefore, coochie is the ultimate objective in their minds also. The thing is that the game is men approaching equal women, as I just mentioned. There are only a few areas here that we really have to deal with effectively, and that is if men are approaching women and women are not doing anything with respect to their wanting relationships, so that's one-sided right there. We've got to fix that. So if only men want relationships and women don't, we've got to fix that. But women do want relationships. They say they want relationships, but yet they do nothing, or they play this game. Well, guys have got to approach me. I don't agree with approaching women on the street, because they're talking about street harassment now. So, I mean, you know, what are we really saying here? I mean, we're saying we're confused, we're screwed up, and we've got to figure out what works, because so far, what works, we haven't figured it out.
Well, no, I disagree with you. Excuse me for interrupting you, but
I can't speak for the other guys.
I agree. You know, Justin and his followers, but I'm sure Justin feels like he's worked his out. But with me, here's what I figured. I'm just giving you my piece, and then we'll go on. But for me, I don't believe my. Here's my basic attitude about being successful with women. I have a saying with guys: the best way to play the game is not to play the game. And what I mean by that is, yeah, you're right. One thing you're right about: a lot of men and women do play games with each other. Women play games with men. Men play games with women. What I believe in, the number one thing I think that neutralizes all game plan is upfront, straight to the point honesty. That's how, at least how I neutralize game plan. Whenever I approach women, I tell them directly what is on my mind. As I said earlier in the show, if, for example, if I want a one-night stand, I tell women I want a one-night stand. If I want a weekend fling, I tell women I want a weekend fling. If I know I just want any other variation of casual sex, I tell women I want just casual sex. The biggest thing I don't believe in is, compared to some other, I guess, dating coaches and pickup artists, I do not believe in giving a woman the misleading impression that I'm interested in having a long-term monogamous relationship with her just so I can have casual sex. Like when I was at Direct Dating Summit in Vegas, at least two-thirds of the guys there, that's what they were basically promoting, was giving women the impression that you're interested in them as girlfriend material. And then once you get the ass, that's when you tell the woman that you really just want a casual sex. And I'm like, that's bullshit. I tell women before I even sleep with them that all I want is casual sex. And for me, that eliminates, if not 100% of the game plan, I would say at minimum, that eliminates 95% of the game plan that I experienced when I used to be indirect. That's why I personally don't like indirect. Because most indirect methods, to me, they leave the door open for game plan, but other people have their own opinions. That's my personal opinion. So I wouldn't agree with your comment that all of us feel like we're confused, all of us feel like our methods are not working, because, again, I'm sure Justin feels like what he does works for him. I feel like what I do works for me. And but I don't believe, yeah, I don't believe in lying to women. I don't believe in misleading them in order to get in their pants.
Well, Alan, you know, Alan, I agree with you there in terms of misleading women and stuff like that. However, it's still, no matter, I mean, I agree with the other caller. As a matter of fact, Mr. Solution sounds really intelligible, and I can tell that he understands a lot about the, you know, the feminist movement and the effect it has on the modern-day dating life. Now, the truth is this, it's not, we both believe the same overall principle, right? Like, people who know me, you know, they know that in the end of the day, you know, I'm all about doing what you call same pageology, be on the same page, right? But it's just that, like, we have different ways of doing it, right? So you talked about not having that much success doing indirect before, right? And direct works better for you. However, there's other people like myself. I love direct game. I'm the king of direct game, so I love going direct, and I've done it a bunch of times, and I've had success in doing that. However, I still went back to experiment with the indirect method because I knew that if I can get better at that, then it will definitely, you know, improve my percentages and ultimately be a lot less of a workload, right? Now, when I go indirect, I make sure I always end direct. I don't go indirect and end indirect. I go direct, indirect, and end direct. So the growth is still like mode one to some degree where I'm turning the volume as we speak. You know, it's just that I'm just being socially calibrated in a daytime environment to, you know, to just to set the platform for me to then start really, you know, flirting with her. And most of this stuff happens within the first five minutes of conversation, you know. And, I'm not saying – I'm not advocating to lie to women. I'm not advocating to manipulate women
basically,
like other people in a direct summit. Like, this is not the direct dating summit, and I don't represent those people who are, like, saying that stuff in direct dating summit. You know, so I'm not – I'm kind of with you. We have similar principles. Is that you don't know.
Well, I was saying, according to my book, if you were to read my book, what you're, it sounds like you're saying, you would fall into what I call mode two behavior. Mode two behavior is not quite as bad as mode three, but it's not quite as red. Because mode two is basically when you start off, like you described it, when you start off indirect, but you kind of slowly, gradually go to a more direct means of expressing your interest. Yeah, that's
not
what I can, like a mode three person is a person that's totally,
not slowly necessarily. But, I mean, I would say within like 5 to 10 minutes, the girls already know my deal, whether I go direct or indirect. It's not that slow. It's not like I'm talking for hours or like talk to them on the phone forever. You know, so like it depends on what you call slowly. You know,
well, I'd say 10 minutes would be, because see, like for me, when I'm on one, I get to the point within usually the first 2 to 3 minutes. When the times when I've been mode two, it might be, like 8 to 10 minutes or so, or a little longer. You know, well, basically what I say in my book is mode two is not a bad form. Here's where mode two has a weakness, and what I feel like just indirect period has a weakness. If you're dealing with a woman that's what I call a genuine woman, a woman who's not really into game playing herself, that's when indirect is cool and can work for you. But the one time I feel like indirect works against you, when you're dealing with a woman who's what I would call a seasoned manipulator, a woman who just knows backwards and forwards how to play games with guys, indirect, man, it puts you at a disadvantage. And I've had it happen to me. I've seen it happen to a number of guys.
I agree and I disagree. I humbly agree and I disagree. I agree for people who haven't really found out the way to do it properly indirectly. And I just, you know, and for me and some of my clients, I figured out ways to do that properly. You know, where and you don't have to waste your time doing it.
Okay, let me ask you this then, Justin. How do you identify, what's your way of identifying, you heard me talking about my four categories of women. And the last category was time waster, which is a woman who will initially, temporarily, or indefinitely pretend like she has a romantic or sexual interest in you, but deep down she does not. How would you go about identifying a time waster?
All right, great. So there are a lot of things that the public doesn't know about about my teachings. Number one, I'm big on physical escalation. The reason why is because I know that for sure physical escalation, a woman's touch doesn't lie. So, for example, if a girl says she likes me, but then I go for a handhold while we're walking in the park, she doesn't hold it back, or she kind of acts weird for try a few times, no matter what she tells me, no matter what she tells me verbally, it's bullshit. I don't care. I only care about what she wants to do with me with the subtle physical things, because those communicate a lot louder of interest than the verbals. I'd never care about the verbals. If a girl doesn't want to kiss me, but she tells me she likes me, I don't give a fuck if she wants to. If she says, oh, you're so cute, I like you, fuck that shit. You can't even kiss me. So as I'm talking to the girl, I will be moving forward physically to know where I really am. A girl's not going to physically escalate with you, and generally speaking, sometimes they will, but they're not going to physically escalate with you when they're not interested sexually or in any kind of way. Oftentimes, they would just, you know, subtly move, or they would just, like, move your hand or just back off or not hug you back, right? So with
I have to disagree with you, Justin, and I disagree with you based on my own experiences. I can disagree with your experiences. But my experience is, what I tell guys, women can lie. I had a woman, I do another show, a spinoff show called, I don't know if you heard the commercial, it's called Erotic Conversationalist. Mm-hmm. And if you were to listen to this episode of the Erotic Conversations, I did this interview with this woman that goes by the name Nikki True. And she talked about this very thing, and I tell guys all the time, there's a lot of women who are what I call simply cock teasers or dick teasers. And she basically admitted that a lot of times she's a dick teaser. Like, for example, she admitted that she has men who are her platonic friends that she will let them squeeze on her ass, squeeze on her tits, kiss on her cheek or her neck, but just do a lot of physical shit. But she said, I know from the time they start doing this, I'm not going to fuck them. I know I'm not going to suck their dick. I know I'm not going to let them lick my pussy. But she said, I'll do, other than those three things, I'll let them do just about anything they want to. And
Exactly. But what I'm saying, you don't know until that time happens, right? I would say in most cases, though, the average woman, right, 80% of them at least, if, you know, if they make out with you, let's say you're going to go in a daytime situation, you stop her, you talk to her, you invite her for coffee on the spot, you take her for a walk, you hold her hands, you guys make out somewhere. I would say if you do that and then get the phone number, that's what I do, by the way. If you do that to 10 girls and you get the phone number, I'd say at least 8 out of the 10 will meet you on a romantic date with romantic intentions. And if you're good enough, you'll be able to sleep with at least 7 out of the 10 girls, which is great statistics, by the way. So 80% of the girls are not going to be that way. And even when the girls that are that way, guess what? I'll find out. As I continue progressing physically, at some point when I realize there's like a dead end, I can't go any further, then I realize she's full of shit, and I just tell her, what's the pleasure meeting you. There's not much I can do there, but move forward. So, you know, that's basically the way the game is played. We can't prevent everything, but we can still maximize the odds. And that's basically essentially why it's described there. Was, you know, what I do when I see a girl in the streets. You know, I stop her, I get to know her. So this is enough. Not the point where I'm trying to be a boyfriend, right? But just in a social context where we can speak and we can vibe, where the situation, to create a situation where I can physically escalate, you know, then and there. You know, at least within the first 10, 15 minutes of talking to her. That's my goal. My goal is not just to talk to build comfort. It's to move forward physically. And 80% of the girls, I would say, if, you know, they will not lie based on their physicals. Like, there's some girls who try to flirt with guys. I'm trying to waste your time or, you know, or try to test you and all that shit. But the way you know, if a girl says she likes you and all that stuff, go for a move. Keep on moving forward physically. If you kiss her this time, try to grab her breast. You know, if she lets you do that, we go for the pussy, whatever. But keep on moving forward. And if she's going to be manipulated, she'll stop you at some point. You'll know. And you can just tell her, well, if you're not down, it's nice meeting you. And that's it. But again, that's only a small percentage of
women. So, Justin, let me ask you, since you had two followers who basically admitted they tend to be indecisive, would you say that happens to you quite frequently? When you approach women, are you indecisive on what you want from them?
Oh, no, definitely not. Definitely not at all. I have a just so you guys know, I have a documentary series, a mini documentary series about me and my girlfriends where I interview them. It's on video, it's everything. It's for you guys, for everybody to see. And I'm happy with them, and they know my lifestyle. They accept the fact that I see other women. They're still down to be with me. You know, it might be kind of controversial, but it's just the way it is. And that's just, and I'm upfront with them. There's no manipulation necessarily. There's no lying, and I'm happy with them.
Okay, I respect that.
Yeah, even other girls that I see would have sexually speaking, I'm attracted to them. However, there have been times before in the past where I did get depression from pickup on my and all my travels of getting good. And mainly the reason was because I was being robotic about it and just trying to – at that time there was no nausea on the street game. And I was trying to crack this so-called mystery of you know, getting consistent results with the girl that I really favor from Street Game. That was painful. That took a lot of hypothesis testing, me trying new things, and that was the hard part. And the fact that I got a lot of rejections over and over again, it wasn't rejections, but it was the fact that I failed, meaning that I invested a lot of time and energy, and especially with indirect game, or direct game, the fact that I was going outside, wake up in the morning, going outside, you know, it takes energy to game. I don't want to game every day, you know, energy to game. So the fact that I was doing that in the past, created depression, where normal people won't experience that because they're not forcing themselves like the way a lot of so-called pickup artists in training do it. So I don't think you ever forced yourself to go out to approach girls, have you?
Forced myself to go out?
Yeah, like I don't want to go today, but I have to because I'm on this mission to get better.
No, I mean that makes it disingenuous and contrived. I would never do that. We're running out of time, so I'm gonna give a couple people who's still on the line.
Yeah.
About a minute or so to give me their final thoughts. I see Mr. Solution on the line. Give me 1 minute worth of your final thoughts, Mr. Solution.
Yeah, Alan, thanks a lot, man. Look here, two things, and I know you are acutely aware of this, but you don't present it often enough. Women are controlling both the indirect and the direct communication, and you pointed this out very saliently once, and that is, women will reject the guy who openly tells, who is upfront and straightforward, forcing him to lie. So women are controlling the indirect and direct communication. And we need to be aware of that. Women need to exercise more original choice power instead of just veto power.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Okay. Yeah, that was good feedback. Mr. Indecisive Michael, what's your last? You know, I know you've been. I've been hard on you all night, man. But you've been killing me, man.
Cool.
What's your 1 minute of final thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think regardless of like the approach, right now it is kind of a numbers thing. I do want to clarify. A lot of people thought when I said, "Oh, like I'm depressed by the quality of women," they thought I was like sleeping with girls that I didn't find physically attractive. That's not the case. I just meant consistency in my life is not a theme. And yeah, I just hope to see Justin Wayne's book out soon so I can finally learn the structure and hopefully apply it to some sort of style to where I can get consistent results. So looking forward to that.
Okay, Balarco, what's your final minute of thoughts?
Yeah, I would just like to say that I really am not a huge fan of indirect man, regardless of what. For me, this is what I believe. That it has taken me a lot of time to build this character in myself that I don't give a shit what a woman thinks. So at the end of the day, I'm going to do what suits my character, and my character is being direct. I won't go indirect to improve my percentages, man, especially if I'm living in NYC, which has so many beautiful girls. I'm going to be direct, and if somebody rejects me, so what? Like, it's as simple as that. This is what I believe. This is my opinion.
Hey, Balarco, give me your best mode one.
Mode one.
Mode one.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mode one.
Up front, straightforward.
Mode one.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mode one.
Mode one.
Justin Wayne, tell my listening audience where they can find you and more information about you on the World Wide Web.
Yeah, just, you know, I have a main blog right now called JustinWayneBlog.com. And, you know, that's where you can contact me if you have any questions. You know, so that's where everything is for now, JustinWayneBlog.com. And I have a bunch of YouTube videos of me coaching girls in the field. And live, so you guys can see that as well. So that's pretty much, where you can find me.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, man. We had a few handful of things Well, I would say we have philosophical disagreements, but we probably definitely have more agreements than we did disagreements. And I wish you continued success in what you do and continue to help men, you know, overcome their fears and insecurities. And, yeah, man, just keep doing your thing, man.
No, I had a great time talking to you as well. And you know, hopefully one of these times, you know, we can, you know, meet up again and
Yeah, man, next time I'm in New York City, I'm coming to New York City, I'm gonna drop you a note so we can connect when I get there.
No, definitely. I'd love to, man. No, man, I love your whole show. I love what you represent. I love the way you I love your personality on the radio, man. It's really fun.
Hey, I appreciate it. Well, I'm going to ask you before you go. Give me your best. Mole one.
Alan Roger Curry.
Up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mo one.
Well, listeners, that's it for this show. Join me next week when I talk to some of the writers and producers of a documentary film called After Porn Ends. It's going to be discussing what a lot of porno stars do when their career is over. Until then, have a safe weekend, have an enjoyable weekend, and as hot as it is in some cities, have a very cool weekend, and I will see you next Thursday.